She has a problem with.
Do you want to start over? Okay. It's the Town of Annapolis Regular Commission Meeting, Tuesday, November 8th, 2011, 6 p.m. Could we have a roll call, please?
Okay. Mayor Williams is on vacation. Commissioner Brennan?
Here.
Commissioner Ely?
Here.
Commissioner Kelman?
Here.
Commissioner Merritt?
Here.
Commissioner Price?
Here.
We all please stand for the prayer on the pledge.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to gather together and do the work of the Town of Annapolis. We ask that you would lead and guide and direct our commissioners, that they would make the decisions that are best for the town. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Mr. Fugate, do you have any beginning comments?
I have no comments other than what's listed on the agenda. You want me to move to item A?
Okay, we'll go right then to. It's a letter from the Yankeetown School requesting a use of town facilities.
My only comment on this, apparently they're asking to have a pre-arranged agreement with the town to possibly use town facilities in certain events of things happening down at the school. That's fine. You're certainly authorized to enter into an agreement. If you do that, I would recommend that agreement be in writing and that agreement include appropriate language for the school board to hold the town harmless in the event that there's any liability that results from their use. So I would presume possibly that the school board has some kind of a standard agreement that they use in cases like this. If not, the town has an agreement that it's used before with folks that use some of the town facilities.
Anybody had any conversations with the school?
Yes, sir.
In addition?
Basically, I guess they have to submit a plan. I don't know if it's to the school board, but we were contacted during the week, and they basically said that in the event that something happened at the school, a shooting or someone came into the school where they had a bomb threat, whatever, and they had to vacate the kids from the school, that they wanted a place that they could bus the kids to and have the parents come to that location and pick them up rather than have the parents all coming to the school. And then the same thing with the other part was that in the event that something happened and they had media people coming in, they didn't want them to come to the school. They wanted to have a place that they could meet with the media and talk with them that was away from the school grounds. So, yeah.
So it's basically something that's just, if needed, it is not something specific that they're asking us to,
correct,
you know, permission to use the...
Yes, and they understand that the community center is not a shelter, so you know, said we're not talking about hurricanes, it's just in the event that something happened, a place, a staging area that they could pick up kids.
Well, is this something that we need to, that the commission should vote and authorize, you know, our assistance to them if they should need it?
If the commission wants to do that, I think, yes, you should have a motion and a vote to do so.
Okay. Is there any discussion or any thoughts from the board on this request?
Yeah.
Going the wrong way.
Okay. The only thing that confuses me is about using our council chambers for information to media. Is that what that replies to?
Mm-hmm.
And then the recreation center, do they mean over there too?
They don't mean inside. They mean just using the parking lot to be able to bus the kids there and have the parents pick them up.
So in fact, I think like Mr. Fugate said, it would kind of be a necessity to put it in writing exactly what they want to use it for and how, and for the school board too to go along with it, because just because we may vote on it, and I'm not seeing anything against it, a wonderful thing to have a place for the kids to come to be safe, but we always have to make sure when we're doing this for the people of our town too, that the harmless part is very important. And me not being a lawyer, I could see that. So that's all my comments are about that.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments or any, let me put it this way, any objections into going ahead and, you know, making a motion to approve their suggestion? Any opposition to it or any?
I'll make a motion that we move ahead with a letter or an agreement with the school for using our facilities for a staging area if the need arises.
Okay.
Well, pending agreement with the school board.
All right. Well, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Oh, I'm sorry. And we have a second. Anybody from the audience have any comments or feelings about this issue? About giving the school board the right to use the facilities if they are if they need them. Well, if not, anybody else have any other thoughts?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
I'd like to see the school board incur any of the costs for drawing up the agreement. I don't think
that's
we should.
That's a good thought. That's should. Is this something that maybe we would ask the mayor to follow, Sally, or are you in contact with someone there that...
The principal.
With the principal,
yes.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing further, then all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carried 5-0. Next item is the, under ordinances, it's the final reading of ordinance 6-11 regarding the discharge of firearms in the city limits.
Okay, ordinance number 06-11 is an ordinance of the Town of Inglis, Florida regarding discharge of firearms, repealing section 42-2 of the Town of Inglis Code of Ordinances and providing an effective date. We've discussed this ordinance before. In the last legislative session, the state legislature amended section 790.33 of the state statutes, and in doing so has preempted the entire field of firearm regulation to the state. In other words, they have said that any local government, county, municipality in the state of Florida cannot regulate firearms or ammunition. Within the town code, we have one provision that relates to firearms, and that's in 42-2. So this ordinance is repealing that particular section in the code.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments from the floor? Somebody care to make a motion?
I move that we adopt ordinance number 06-11, an ordinance of the Town of Inglis, Florida regarding the discharge of firearms, repealing section 42-2 of the Town of Inglis Code of Ordinances, providing an effective date.
We have a motion. Can we have a second?
Second.
Any last comments?
Just need to say it's final reading, please.
Final reading.
So noted. There's nothing further than all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The second item, it's the first reading of ordinance 8-11, refers to amending the future land use map.
Ordinance number 08-11 is an ordinance of the Town of Inglis, Florida amending the future land use map of the Town of Inglis Comprehensive Plan under the regular amendment procedures established in sections 163.3161 through 163.3215 Florida statutes, changing the future land use classification from commercial to highway commercial, and an amendment to the official zoning map of the Town of Inglis, Florida, changing the zoning classification from neighborhood commercial C1 to highway commercial C1A on certain lands within the corporate limits of the Town of Inglis, Florida, providing severability of this ordinance and establishing an effective date.
It is my understanding that there's been an application by a firm called Booz Development Group to amend, to make this amendment and requesting the change from neighborhood commercial C1 to the highway commercial.
Thank you. Beck, do you want to elaborate a little bit on some of the details? Everybody knows just what that's about.
Basically, to build the proposed building on the lot that is, it's the area between Food Ranch and 19, where on weekends Jesus is, has their yard sale. Anyway, the building's about 8,000 square feet. So to allow a building that size, they need an increased FRS and ISR beyond the 0.23, which is why they're applying for the change in zoning to highway commercial to allow them to have what they need in the permeability and floor ratio. And there's a representative here from Booz, George is here, so questions I can't answer,
they can. Okay. Did you want to go ahead and have anything to say about the project, or would you rather wait and see if people have any questions?
I'm available for questions.
Okay. Does anybody on the board have questions for them? Are they familiar enough with what...
I would like him to speak on it and then have questions.
Okay. Well, would you mind telling us just a little bit about your plan then and the project and why you want the C1A as opposed to C1? You know, what the difference is.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us on the agenda this evening. My name is Ray Bars with Booz Development Group. And we are proposing... We are proposing an 8,000 square foot retail store on the northwest corner of Inglis Island, US 19. The current zoning of it is C1, which has the ISR and FAR ratios at 0.23, meaning basically if you max out the building, you would not have, based on the FAR, you would not be able to have sidewalks or a parking lot or a dumpster pad, anything else, because of the impervious area ratio is the exact same. Our FAR that we're proposing with this is actually 0.15, so we're not requesting the rezoning for FAR, it's strictly for the ISR, the impervious ratio. And C1A allows that ISR to go up to 0.7 from 0.23. Our ratio would be about 0.55. So we would not be maxing out that, but we would need the rezoning in order to build a proposed development.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Go ahead.
So when you mean the impervious, you mean like the paving part?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Not always up to the tallest.
Change it to C1A, you can go up to how much?
C1A allows up to 0.7 ISR and 0.6 FAR.
So you'll be under that?
Yes, ma'am.
So just as a matter of interest, some years ago, the town commission approved essentially those same increases, but it never got into an end of the ordinance. But it is something that has been looked at for a long time, and I think it's thanks to our planning commission, they finally got it back in. But anybody, any other questions? Any questions from the floor?
Can you just tell us a little bit about the business that is going in?
Yes, Arjun. It's a Family Dollar store, retail store that sells everything from cleaning supplies to paper plates to chips, candy, drinks, etc. Almost like a smaller market or something like that. There's some clothing items, things like that. But it's 8,000 square foot store. It's a neighborhood scale store.
Will you hire local people?
I'm the developer, and I'm not a Family Dollar, but my understanding is that they do.
Somebody goes ahead, do you have a timetable or any, how far in the future are you looking to break ground?
We are, we're moving as quickly and quickly as we can with this process. We have, we're hoping to have all of our permits in the first quarter of 2012, probably February, mm-hmm. and we would like to be open with the store May, June.
Very good. Yeah. Any other questions? Now would someone care to make a motion?
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Your plans, the way that you're going to build them by increasing this to the C1A, are you going to, probably George knows, meet the plans that we have for buildings?
Well, after this process is through, we'll go through a site plan review, and those details will be hatched out, but yes and no. The design that we have, that we put together, takes into account all of the Town of Inglis's codes and setbacks and all that information, okay. To the best of our knowledge.
Okay.
So we believe that everything is as good as it is shown.
Anything else? Okay, good.
I move that we approve the first reading of ordinance number 08-11, an ordinance of the Town of Inglis, Florida, amending the future land use map of the Town of Inglis comprehensive plan under the regular amendment procedures established in section 163.3161 through 163.3215 Florida statutes, changing the future land use classification from commercial to highway commercial, and amendment of the official zoning map of the Town of Inglis, Florida, changing the zoning classification from neighborhood commercial C1 to highway commercial C1A on certain lands within the corporate limits of the Town of Inglis, Florida, providing severability of this ordinance and establishing an effective date.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second. Any last comments?
Yes, can I ask another question? It says on certain lands, not just this piece of property?
No, it's a specific piece of property.
Okay, just that last third to the line sentence up says on certain land within the corporate limits. So
well, it is a certain piece of land.
That's good.
It's specific.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next item is it's under contracts, voluntary cooperation with the Inglis and the City of Williston. Is this
I can comment on this, yes.
Okay.
This is a proposed voluntary cooperation and assistance agreement between the Town of Inglis and the City of Williston, and I believe, let's see, yeah, that's the only one there. And then there is a similar proposed document, which is the next item on your agenda, between the Town of Inglis and Citrus County.
They're both to be.
It's for mutual aid law enforcement activities.
They're both for basically the same issue as the police.
That is correct.
Chief, do you have any comments that you'd like to make on the
on these agreements?
Commissioner Chief Steve Dixon for the record. The Littleton memo of understanding is just a rollover of our previous one. We've had it all along, just renewing that one. The one with Citrus County Sheriff's Office, prior to this, they did not want an interlocal agreement with us, and now they do. Because things have changed in Ames. But this was brought on by the escape prisoner situation, where they came here, they really didn't have any jurisdiction, we weren't, by state law, we can mutually aid each other anyway, but we didn't have any understanding in writing about who was responsible for what. This clarifies it. I wrote this document, and it's almost verbatim of what we do with Lee County Sheriff's Office. Interlocal agreements between municipal police and sheriff's office and police are slightly different, but not greatly. So it would enhance the ability of both departments to be able to assist each other, especially since more and more interaction is taking place between us and Citrus County now with the possibility of a forthcoming and more development in Northwest Citrus and Southern Levy County. So as the population grows and the need for law enforcement gets greater, the calls to help each other are going to get greater also. Mm-hmm. Even though we've never had one with Citrus County before, I've spoken to Sheriff Dawson directly, and he's all for it.
You, are you satisfied? Are you,
yeah,
you think it's a good idea?
Yes, sir.
Definitely,
yes.
Do it.
Right. I don't want another situation like them crossing our borders or us crossing their borders, and we don't have the power to do anything. This gives us the power to do something.
Yeah. Any questions?
Yes, I would like.
So ahead.
I'd like him to read this into the record so that I can question several parts of this. Can this be read into the record?
I'll just question what you want to
hire me.
Well, you're voting on something here.
It's a part of the record as a part of the agenda packet. Right. So.
I think that, yeah, but the people, if they go online and they can listen to this, this is really, some parts of this scares me. We would agree to furnish the necessary equipment, resources, and facilities to render aid and services to each and every other party to the agreement as set above. The party that furnishes any equipment pursuant to this agreement shall bear the loss or damage to such equipment and shall pay any expenses incurred in the operation and maintenance thereof. I think it's important that we read this out loud.
That's standard in every operational memo of understanding between law enforcement. That's standard. If Mr. Pugh will say that's standard of verbiage for all.
And then if we help them, it says that that we'll pay our men while they're over in Crystal River at a ball game.
It doesn't say that. That's not what it says, Commissioner. This is emergency only. If they have a riot, yes, we can go help them. Which I would hope they would come help us in case of a natural disaster or something else happened here.
Yeah, I agree with that in something like that, but in here where I was reading, I thought Steve had said something about ball games, and let me go back.
Are you looking at A or B? I would assume that we're working on A right now.
Okay. I thought they said they were the same and we were...
Well, you're called to vote on each one.
Okay.
The Littleton is just a renewal of one we've had for 50 years.
But, yes, it does. I think one of them does refer to, in a laundry list of examples of what might, you know, result in the need for requesting assistance. But both of these policies indicate the procedure of requesting the assistance, and both of them... both of them leave the decision as to whether to provide that assistance on a case-by-case basis with the chief or whoever's running the department that day.
Can you read that laundry list to us?
It's in both of them. Yes, it talks about
in both intensive situations, including emergencies under 252.342 Florida statutes, and routine services, including but not limited to follow-up investigation into criminal activity, backup services during patrol activities, and other interagency task force. The other one talks about including but not limited to civil disturbances, law enforcement emergencies, large protest demonstrations, aircraft disasters, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, or other weather-related crises, sports events, concerts, parades, escapes from detention facilities, and incidents requiring utilization of specialized units. So that's their laundry list. I'm sure it's not limited to that. It would be other things.
When you call it a laundry list, I just know that the people have, you know, complained a lot about the cars leaving the city limits, being taken home. But here you are authorizing the fact of our cars, our manpower, us paying them, any liability falls back on us to go if they determined it. Sports events, concerts, parades. This just really the liability to us, and we have to pay our men and.
You have to pay our men anywhere on duty.
Right, but to go to something, you know, like a sports event, Steve, or...
Well, Ms. Sally, if an officer's getting killed or hurt, I'm going anyway, whether you guys authorize this or not.
Oh, it's nothing to do with anybody getting killed. If you're talking about aid, like setting up...
Well, that's what they're talking about. We're not going to go work the football game. No, we're going to go work at the football game.
See, it doesn't
this
really say that. It's kind of...
Situation. And the final, like Mr. Kugan just explained to you, the final say so is mine anyway.
Right.
So you won't leave the city unless I say so.
But it doesn't say that you're going in an emergency. It says you can go to these events, and so it's
these are kind of
like,
standing for
wow.
Emergency operations.
Yes.
That's what they are.
Okay.
Let me just add one more point on both of these, and I always make this point. The last paragraph in both of the agreements indicates that the agreement may be canceled by either party upon giving notice, so we're not locked in. And so if you're in this a month and you don't like the way things are going, you can cancel it.
Right.
So.
Okay. That's what I was questioning, Steve, if it was emergency activities or was it just like going to cover parades?
We will compliment parades or having a traffic situation.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Come help us on our Christmas
plan. Well, I could understand that if it was a case like that.
Did our fire department go help them when they had the big fire up at it's the same situation.
Right.
We're civil service to go help each other.
Right.
Go ahead. You have a question?
Yes, not
tonight. Sure, please do.
I'm Betty Berger. I would like to suggest you add Marion County because the proposed nuke is going to affect our water system. There's so many things that ties us in. Maybe you can't do it with this amendment, but would you think about adding Marion County because we have joined them and they're coming through Levy and Marion, the new plants, if they get permission. I'm not letting them do it.
Well, I think they already have an agreement with Dan Allen, which is in Marion County.
I'm just saying this agreement between two counties, could you add it to Marion County? Add Marion County as well as Citrus, because they're the two adjoining counties. Would you think about it? I'm not...
Well, sure. If Marion County has a separate or a different one, and I think that and if the chief feels that we should have an agreement with them, we wouldn't.
Would be great if you guys would look into it. Or somebody. Not me.
Okay.
Steve, is the Dan Allen one just like these?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Standards, legal standards. They change the names to check the incident other than that, and basically verbatim. Like I said, a few nuances in the one for the sheriff compared to his dollars are not much.
Okay.
Good.
I'd just like to make a comment about my name is Steven Smallbridge. I own Lucky Rose Enterprises, a small trucking company. I just moved here. My newest members last week. It's about home here. And but my comment is that any cooperation between local and police jurisdictions would be a benefit to here as well, because it's not just that this police force would go help there, but that they would come here just the same. So, you know, in that cost incurrent, it works both ways. So if there's ever a serious need here, that they would incur the cost of coming here as well. So it's a win-win situation. I mean, you know, and as a new member, maybe I don't have as, you know, as much right to come up here and say that, but I come here to stay. So I am a new member of this community, and that's just my comment. I think that would be beneficial to Inglis as well as it would be to Crystal River, or, you know, any Dunellen or any surrounding community. Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Give you one quick thing, how this works, and the sheriff did this out of the kindness of his heart. The night sweater was staffed, we had more Citrus County units than we did Lee County units here.
Right.
That's how it works.
I just wanted to understand the part about the liability of the concerts and all of that.
It's perfect, but in case, like, let's say they had a shooting down the Citrus last month where the 18-year-old was killed. They asked for one of our units at one time, I'm sending one, and you got canceled. But that's the kind of stuff we're talking
about.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
It's
emergency door. I recognize
Mr. Monteverdi. Bill Monteverdi, Inglis. I have, I read this, and geez, this is very different from the one that we have in Dunellen. The language that I find troublesome and both is all the things that Sally started to talk about. It's section, well, in the first one, section 3, where we're liable and we're responsible. I never recall reading that in a Dunellen one nor the Levy County one. This is brand new to both of these documents. This opens us up wide for lots of potential, for lots of expense, because we're the little guy, they're the big guy. The chances are we could not absorb or handle something catastrophic to our department, like loss of cars, loss of lives, so on and so forth. All of this says that we're responsible for all of this. This is different than any other thing I've ever read that we've approved here. This language is different. And maybe the lawyer can, Mr. Fugate can tell us how vulnerable we are on each one of these points, because it's not in the Dunellen. I've read that a couple of times. That one's real simple. So maybe Mr. Fugate, could you enlighten us on what are the ramifications if some of these things go wrong?
If the commission wants me to respond to that, I will.
Is this something that you have time to look at tonight, or?
Yeah, the simple answer to the question is that the town has insurance for all of these possible liabilities. And the reason that it's in here that the town is responsible for its own equipment and its own employees is because the insurance, the way the insurance and the sovereign immunity works within the state of Florida, we as a town could not agree to be responsible for the liability for, say, Citrus County's cars and employees, nor can Citrus County agree to be responsible for our employees and cars. So that's why it's in here, and that's the only way that under such an agreement that both entities' insurance will remain in place and cover the possible liability that might arise. So that's why it is written that way.
Well, that helps me immensely. So for me to understand it in layman's terms, mm-hmm. If we send a car out and a man and we unfortunately lose the life of an officer in a car and so on and so forth, are we covered?
We're covered by our insurance, yes.
And is that adequate to meet those possible expenses?
It's just as adequate as it is if that happened within the town. Yes, I mean, there's no coverage that we have for our police department personnel for vehicles or liability in general is the same no matter whether it happens within the town or under one of these agreements out in another locale or county or somewhere.
Okay. So that's, so will these other agreements be changed to be somewhat like this one?
I can't comment on the Dunellen agreement because I don't remember, haven't looked at it recently, so I don't remember exactly. But as I recall, it's that all of these, as the chief said, are pretty much the same in terms of the language.
The Dunellen agreement is only like 3 paragraphs. It's real short. So
I can look at it and comment at a later time.
So. But you can explain it, and I'm comfortable with it. But when I first read this, I was not.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything further?
Well, let me ask the attorney then. Hasn't mutual aid without these agreements always been practiced? I mean, if they call us, we go, and if we call them, they come.
Yeah, but there's a lot of different reasons that this needs to be there. Number one is the insurance, to make it clear that our insurance covers on this. Number two, I've seen this issue before, that if an arrest is made by a, for example, an Inglis officer in another locale, sometimes you have issues of whether that officer had jurisdiction to make an arrest in another place. This resolves that issue also. The other thing that this does is there are procedures in here that outline how the communication and decision-making and relationship is made in the event that one agency goes into another area that you would not have if you did not have this agreement.
In other words, what you're saying, if somebody calls and there's an emergency and they go, we're better off with an agreement than we are without it for their own protection.
That is correct.
The easy way to state it is the state law says we will respond. State law is very broad. This is specific. This covers us a lot more than what basic state law tells us. Because, to give an example, a Hurricane Andrew in Miami, we had 67 police agents respond down there to hurricane disaster aftermath. And we didn't have this with all of them, so there was a lot of problems that arose from that. So anytime you get an interlocal agreement, and be specific about what each party expects and outline it as we've done in these documents, you're better off. That's the easy way to put it.
Yeah, thank you.
Steve, let me ask you another question then. In understanding this, as an example, like with Yankee Town, now we don't have an agreement with Yankee Town, so we don't need one?
That would be the county sheriff's office. They're their police agency.
Okay.
See, whatever police agency is covering that jurisdiction, it would be like going up and helping out Fanning Springs up there toward the north. It's still in Levy County.
Mm-hmm.
So we're covered by the Levy County agreement. Same thing if we go out to Peaceful Acres, we're covered by the Levy County. Because Levy County is the reigning police agency for those jurisdictions.
Okay.
So in other words, if Citrus County still had a police department in Inverness and one in Crystal River, this would only cover unincorporated Citrus County. But since Citrus County took over all policing, it covers their whole county.
So this would be a call to you to back up or to cover, to help or whatever, and you'd make that decision to go or not go. Okay.
And it doesn't happen as often as you think it does.
Okay.
More so here in Levy, only because of the shorthandedness of the sheriff's office. They have one deputy ride 250 square miles
right
south of Cedar Key. Citrus rarely will, they help us when we help them, Citrus does.
Okay.
There'll be a lot of people right here on the border, and we get a lot of our bad guys will flee from here and go down the River Drive, and they'll come over and help us there.
Okay, well, let me ask you, you referenced Twiggett with the call that Levy County didn't respond as much as like Citrus County to the bank robber out there.
They didn't have the personnel.
Right,
you're
okay.
You're talking about an apartment with 149 deputies compared to only 29 deputies.
Okay, well, my question was, what time of day did that happen?
3 o'clock in the morning.
And was that a dispatch call?
No, he went out there checking out the roadway like Citrus asked, Levy asks us to do sometime, because they get midnight parties down the boat ramp and their deputy is tied up in the closet. They'll have to run out there to see, make sure everything's all right. He was on his way out there, saw the car parked on the side of the road, stopped to inquire. The gentleman was asleep, woke him up. He didn't know he was a bank robber at the time. Nobody did.
Well, that, you know, that was kind of my question, because Fugate said, and I'm sorry he left, that, you know, this would be a call to send somebody there, and if it was a call where they went there and they weren't asked to go and you didn't know they had been there, we're still covered.
Our insurance covers us.
Okay.
We're covered under our insurance policy, no matter where we have to take police action, if we had one of these local agreements. Now, like, if one like us has to go to the county for something now, and we don't have this, we can get a ledge. That's why this specifies. This protects us.
Okay, but I meant like going when you're not on a call that has been requested and you happen to be there.
Police work. Every call is not dispatched. We run across a lot of things. It's called self-initiated police activity.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief. Go ahead, Andy.
Michael White. I appreciate what Mr. Dossie's done, because I know when Mr. Dixon came here first, he donated 3 cars to us. So, Williston, I haven't seen nothing they've ever done for Anglis at all. The other thing I have a question about, when they did the robber deal down here, Citrus drove into Anglis, let the guy loose without contacting them at all. Then I get a call to go to my car lot, because Citrus County cops are at my car lot pulling everybody out and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I come up there and flipped out on one of the Citrus County's cops, threw him off my property, and then Simmons, that was down there, reprimanded him and did all this, went through a bunch of stuff down there in Crystal River because of that. So my question is, are we giving them the power to walk in this place and do whatever they want? No. So they're going to answer to you.
Yes,
that's not right. I'm good with that, but that was a for instance that they could have really got bad with that situation. And that was, and I'm sure that's why all this is happening, because of the legalities of that.
Right.
So I don't, you know, the more people that you get telling you what to do, the work more convoluted it's going to become. So.
Well, it sounds like if they're going to come up here, it will be at the request of our chief rather than they're not coming in on their own.
Like they owned the place before with no repercussions. Yeah, I was the only one down there with Simmons, and he said, "You want this in his record and all that?" And I'm like, "Absolutely." You know, because he had no right walking on Leedy County property acting like he was a U.S. Marshal or something.
Mm-hmm. So. Thanks. Anything further? Go ahead, please.
Just one quick comment. I'm Greg Kirkland from Inglis, and a question, question. The comment would be, of course, this sounds like, you know, in comparison, you've got like Leavy County having an agreement with Florida, and you've got this little bitty town that's got these agreements with these great big counties. And it seems to me that it's going to be disproportionate. There's going to be a lot more calls for help coming from us than from us to them. That just seems logical, but not necessarily the case. And then that would be my comment. But the question would be, and to confirm that if this thing, or any of these agreements, the one with Marion, Levy, and or Citrus, could be annulled on a month, in other words, next month, if we see they're abusing their privilege. I can just picture it. You know, Leedy County, hey, we've got Inglis down there. We don't need to send our guys down there. Just call them and then I'll tell them to run out there and do this or that. So it seems it might be disproportionate in the, and of course it all boils back down to funding and that sort of thing. So, but my question is, this can be annulled.
It says with written delivery of written notice to the other party. Yeah.
Thank you. Bob, you can have a dozen times.
Bob Allen. I just wanted to know why, the chief reiterated on, I think, at least 3 times that this is for emergencies only.
Right.
Why isn't it written in there for emergencies only then? Right now,
I don't have any problem. I'm sure the chief would only as it needed to be.
You know, one of the things that I think...
When you're really in there, then that means even if the chief isn't here, if somebody else is in that spot, then it's their decision.
I would interpret this so that it's not only an emergency. It's where you have two jurisdictions that are that close together. It could really affect both. I don't think it has to be just strictly an emergency type of thing.
Well, then you're looking, then you're opening the door for abuse. So if it's not in there for emergency purposes, then it could be for something else.
Yeah. And well, also, it's also up to the chief. I mean, you know,
the whole question that Sally was bringing up in the first place was that, you know, what about ball games?
I told them I said, "Also down on routine call to a ball game."
Well, I know what you're saying.
Neither are any of my supervisors. You know, we know that.
I think
all calls on the floor state statutes under emergency help. That's why all these statutes are referred to in the thing. You read the floor state statutes for emergency help per agency or interagency.
Well, it's not in writing on this agreement, apparently.
But that's state law. It's under the state statute. There's things based on state statute. State doctor says, in an emergency law enforcement situation.
Go ahead, please.
Both of these agreements say because of an existing and continuing law enforcement problem and intensive situations.
That's an emergency.
That's an emergency.
Okay. Anything further? Someone care to make a motion? This is on the first one is on the agreement with the City of Williston.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the voluntary cooperation and operational assistance agreement between Inglis and the City of Williston.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Okay. You're both tied and you want to join.
She can have it.
No.
Go ahead. Well, any last words? Mr. Monteverdi?
Just quickly, why was this signed by the mayor before you even approved it? The mayor signed this agreement.
Because it was going to be a renewal, and then the attorney said that he wanted to bring it for information first.
Well, that's false. It should be from you guys first.
Well, there's nothing that says it has to come before the commission for renewal, just doing what we did this year.
The way our laws are, they have.
Well,
I don't
see it that anything taken away. If we decide not to take a pass on it, it's null and void.
Excuse me. Based on your authority, though, everything says that you direct what the mayor does. Not the mayor does things, and then you agree to it. Or
it's true. We have been through this before.
So we elected the fire. You have the authority. The mayor is supposed to carry out all contracts. Here this thing is signed, whether it's routine or not, before you've even had a chance to come to this meeting and read it. There's an allegory to discussion on this subject. So please, don't lose your power. Keep it.
Thank you.
Steve did. May I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you say these are identical to the other one?
No.
Because the attorney said they're pretty much.
Pretty much.
I'm sorry, he left.
There's two nuances between how we back up a city and how we back up the sheriff's office. You understand, the sheriff is an elected official just like you are. So the PS operator serves guidelines. City police officers and chiefs are appointed. So they're under different guidelines. They're practically the same. like I said, probably will do lots of in there, but basically it's almost verbatim. And the one between Media County and Citrus County is verbatim, except it changed from Media County to Citrus County.
Which one is it? Levy County, Citrus County?
I'd like to make one comment, is that our attorney seems to feel that these are standard, that there is protection in it, there is no reason not to go ahead and sign them. As far as I'm concerned, that's why we have an attorney to advise us on these things. Go ahead.
Can I just clear up one thing, because the mayor's not here to defend himself, but the reason that his signature was on that, Steve brought it to him with the understanding that it was just a renewal and that the mayor could sign it. The mayor did not realize that it had to come before the commission at that time. We sent it up to, I called Norm to ask him, Norm said, no, it has to go back before the commission. So it wasn't something that he did deliberately to try to take power away from the commission. He just was not, he did not understand that it had to come before the commission first because it was a renewal.
Well, Sally, I'm confused now. I wish Attorney Fugate had not left till we got done discussing this. Is there any conflict of interest with him being a Williston commissioner?
No.
And bringing forward?
No. I'd like to call on the motion. Dick? I'm call on the motion.
Okay. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries 4-1. Sally, please.
I think we needed more discussion and understanding of this with emergency written in it. I feel like it's really lacking.
Okay, the next item of business is the same type of a memo of understanding of law enforcement between Inglis and the Citrus County office. Any questions? Any comments about this? We pretty well discussed both. Even though they aren't identical, they're similar, have the same effect, and I think the attorney has given us his opinion. Does anybody else have a comment they'd like to make on this one?
Well, I have one comment.
Sure, go ahead.
Stephen Smallridge, everything I've listened to so far about this, if you already have a state law that you're following, that you're operating under, where he has the jurisdiction to go ahead and send someone, by adopting the motion, then all you're doing is like the sheriff said, or like the chief said, is putting yourself under the insurance umbrella, to where now you have a written document saying that you voted on it as commissioners and the town has agreed to it. So that, because the insurance, you know, they're going to take the path of least resistance to get themselves out of responsibility. So that opens the door up for them to say, this never was authorized. So we're not paying for that car, you know, or whatever that might be damaging process. So they're going to do it anyway. From everything I've heard, that all you're really doing is protecting yourself under the liability of where the insurance company can't come back and say, you never voted on it. You don't. Mm-hmm. That the town never adopted it. So from what I heard the chief say, that all you're really doing is protecting the city. That's what I said.
Thank you. Well, we normally allow just one shot at each of these items, but go ahead, let's do it. After this,
item B. How about that? We did item A.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. The problem we got is Inglis doesn't, you guys are the lawmakers, you forgot that. Norm Fugate ain't the lawmakers. Norm Fugate didn't get voted in there. He got voted in to Wilson. Which is a conflict, anybody standing would understand. But Inglis, you determine what the police do.
Yeah, but we also depend on what our attorney recommends.
That's all you guys do. He might as well be running the whole show. Period. but you guys need to understand that you decide if Inglis cops go to Yankee Town. You decide if they go down there and ask Yankee Town, hey, we've been here 30 times this month, how about throwing us a bone? No, we ain't throwing you a bone. So we're not going to Yankee Town. So we're opening it up to everybody else. The Inglis cops ought to be in Inglis. I'm an Inglis taxpayer. I pay Inglis. They ought to be in the city limits. The cop cars ought to be in the city limits. That's the way reality should work. If they need to go, they're going to go, just like this guy right here says. It's mandated by the state. Mr. Dixon's going to say, hey, send everybody down there if something happens. So all of this, oh, insurance, we're going to take care of the cars and everything. If that ever happens, I mean, Citrus County was down here. Did they take care of anything down here? They didn't send nobody by me to say, hey, sorry I pulled all your guys out of your buildings up here and scared them all to death. None of that ever happens. So you guys are the ones that make the decisions, not Norm PJ.
Thank you. We had enough of discussion on that one?
Yes.
Someone care to make a motion?
I move that we adopt the memo of understanding of law enforcement between Inglis and the Citrus County Sheriff's Office.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any last words? All in favor of the motion, signify by...
Can I ask Dick? I thought you were supposed to have a motion and a second and then discussion. We discussed...
It's up to the chair as to how you want to do that.
Okay.
Many times we ask for the motion ahead of time and then have discussion.
Okay.
It's just tonight that we on these couple of items we didn't get the chance to make the motion before.
I want to state that what really has confused me about this is the wordage in it, and the fact that Attorney Fugate left before we could actually discuss through this, and if we don't go to Yankee Town anymore unless it's a major emergency, but the night that Swigert almost got killed out there, that was a self-initiated police activity. In other words, he rode to the end of the road on his own initiative, but if he had got killed, and how, you know, does all of this cover us under something like that?
Who paid for that?
If I'm running by the street stop and he's getting robbed, that's self-initiated. I saw it first. I'm not waiting for a radio call to get there. We're covered under everything, Ms. Allen. Insurance covers under every feasible thing to think about if law enforcement is involved.
Driving to the Gulf at 3 in the morning, though, Steve, without a call from Bronson to go there.
Point of order, please.
I asked to go check it out.
Will the chair recognize me, please? Point of order.
You can see to your... cohort there. Go ahead.
I have the floor.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying, but I want to just make a comment to you, but have permission to make that comment to you, okay?
Sure.
Okay. As another commissioner, we're all liaisons of our different departments. We've got to work with our departments to ask these questions before we come to the commission meetings, because they are the best person to answer the questions and not take up so much time. That is important to get this other things on the agendas done. I know you're new here, so I'm not saying this to embarrass you or anything, but we've got to talk to our department heads to know about things before you come up here, because it does get confusing when you're new at it.
I've been here 50 years, and I've sat through a lot of meetings and made notes on a lot of them, listened to a lot of the tapes. If the public read these, I don't think they would be very happy about it, and I was elected by the people to represent the people with the spending of their money, and that is why I question these. I wish we had put it off till next month. The people won't even have the opportunity to see this, and I think it's totally wrong the way we did it. Excuse me.
I believe they were on the web page in plenty of time for people to have read them.
Okay, we're ready to take a vote. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. Want to take a 5-minute break for Sarah, or should we keep on going, running a little?
I would just like to say that I feel that being elected by the people for the people, and that's what we're here for, if it takes 2 hours to go through this, we should have taken 2 hours to go through it. I ask y'all to read paragraph by paragraph so everybody out there would understand whether they went to the website and read it or not, or whether I talked to Steve ahead of time or not. I think that the people need to understand how their money is being spent, what we are doing, and going over this, they probably would have had more of an understanding of why I was concerned, and thank y'all for putting up with me.
Okay, let's start with the department heads public work. Danny, you want to give your report?
Danny Dayton, Director of Public Works. Probably about a month or so ago, the light was shot out on the water tower. I had it replaced and I filled out the police report and they got it down. There was four bullet holes in it. And it cost the town $2,800 to replace that. And just letting you know that everything's back up and they lowered it down about a foot and moved it back so and put some metal pipe up around it so it gives them a little bit less hit in case they ever did it again. But like I said, the police have the report and pictures and everything, and everything was turned over to them. We got a report back from an alarm system service. We have to a little bit more to check in on that for sensors and stuff at the doors and a few other things and to get more accurate of what we need to. And it's a lot less than the other guy that gave us that one estimate. And also, I wanted to bring up that I'm in the process, so I had some a question to extend some water line service over on West Cason Boulevard, and Elizabeth, I'm working on that to get everything situated for that. I'll bring that up at the next meeting. Any other questions?
On the water plant out there, Danny, vandalism, anybody entering that plant, that is now a federal offense.
Yes.
You have a 1-800 number. We might think about calling that 1-800 number and getting the feds involved in it.
The police have already taken care of everything on that.
Okay.
That end. It gets turned over to the state, and the state contacts the rest of
us. Okay.
What size is it? It was a small caliber, like a 22 rifle.
Anything further? No. Thanks, Danny. Police Department.
Once again, Chief Dixon in the Police Department. Again, once as usual, you have the statistics for the month for the Police Department and Patrol. I'll be happy to answer any questions. We also have started our in earnest to do our Shop of the Cop reflective weapons going about $1,800 so far. We're looking to surpass last year. It was time for 33 kids shop and hopefully we'll do better this year. Something has come up that we weren't expecting to come up. Our copier at the police station is on its last leg. It was a hand-me-down from the town hall when they got their new one years ago. And it's, I don't know how many millions of copies have gone through that thing, but it's we were advised by the company that does the service on it, that they can no longer guarantee they will receive parts for it. They fixed it now, and we don't know how long it's going to last. They sent a proposal for another copier that I've given to Sally. I believe she made copies for all of you. It also enhances our ability to make color copies of the new one compared to the old one, which is only black and white. And it's something that eventually is going to have to be replaced, but it's going to be a capital item that I wasn't aware of that was going to be that necessary during this budget period. That's why I didn't bring up the budget request. Like I said, they just notified us. I'll let Ms. Lorraine talk to you a little bit about what they told her. She talked to them directly. I wasn't in the office when she talked to them. So if you have a question, I'll bring it over here.
Lorraine Barber, for the record. I talked to Deb at BNB Supply, Office Supply. She called me and said that, like you said, it's on its last leg. They cannot guarantee that they'll ever be able to fix it. They have this machine for $3,500. It's exactly like the one for the town. We can scan, we can do color copy, and Officer Swiggett, that does our IT work, said that probably, and it does have remote where you can copy or print from all the computers. We'll only have to have the one machine. We will not have to have any of the printers and offices or anything that it can print from that. And she said that they have this. It's got, it's used, but it's not $7,000 like they paid for the town copy. And, but she can't hold it, you know, forever. This is another reason and the urgency of it. We can be without one, and it can cost us twice that much or whatever when we get ready to replace it. I believe she said it's a 2002 model. So we're at a point where we may be without one, and we do use it excessively.
So it's a 9-year-old?
Ours is
9.
And the company only guarantees parts for 7 years. So we're 2 years into them, you know, guaranteeing parts for it.
What kind of warranty does this one that you're looking at, how much is left on it?
Warranty. It's going to be like the contract that we have with them now. They'll service it. They'll put all the toner and everything else in it. We don't have to buy all this expensive toner that we've been having with the different printers.
It's a yearly maintenance agreement.
Right.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And if they do, this one will be cheaper to maintain than our old one. So
a lot cheaper. And theirs makes 26 copies a minute. This one makes 31 copies a minute. And y'all can borrow it if you want to.
Just 1 year old?
Yeah. What is the yearly maintenance agreement, Lorraine?
Excuse me?
What is the yearly maintenance agreement to provide the toner and all?
It depends on the type of copier it is.
Yeah.
I don't know right offhand, but somewhere in the area, I think we pay, I'm going to say, in the $40, some $40 or $45, something like that. And then it depends on the amount of copies that you copy.
They give you so many copies, and then if you go over that, you have to pay like 2 cents a copy or something like that.
So it's not 2 cents a copy for everything you make. It's
no.
a flat fee, and if you go over that number of copies, then you get into the...
Yes.
You said that it would do away with the other printers in the office?
Officer Swiggett said that he felt like that when they got it there, because I asked her if it had remote features to it, and she said yes, it did. Mm-hmm. So that we can, you know, like a wireless router type thing.
That's what else.
Everybody can do all the printing right there.
So you would be saving money on the cartridges for the other printers, correct?
And they're not cheap.
No, I know they're not.
We have the one printer in the patrol room that just the black and white is almost like $85, and that's just the black and white. It's got three other colors, and they're more expensive. And we have to replace those about every 6 months. And then, of course, the chief's printers, our cartridges are expensive. Mine that I have in my office is not quite that bad. And it's hard to
pencil
it, so that was one of the better features of it also.
Okay. Ms. Lorraine, do you know the age of this machine?
She did not tell me.
From what I get, there's a year old now, right? About a year old? This is the model of what they have. So,
yeah.
Yeah, ours is 2 years.
It was the lease model that they got back, so it's just a lease copy.
Any kind of warranty or anything else?
I would imagine it carried 1 year warranty because they refurbished it. I can double check on that, but I just need to know that the time comes.
Because she said, I talked to her again this afternoon, and I emailed and told her that we were going to try to get it before the commission, and that she said, well, you know, she couldn't hold it forever, but she would like for us to get it if we could.
Commissioner Kelly?
Can you give any thought as to where you would pull the money from?
Is it coming out of your budget?
I don't know.
Okay.
Is it too late to get a capital improvement item out of the budget or out of contingency or something? My budget, we gave back, you know, we cut 60,000, Sean was bare bones, but I'm going to cut down.
You have a contingency.
Well, Sally, I'm sorry, you go with. It's your department, you know, what is, your wish as far as the budget, you know?
They need one, they're going to need it because copying is critical. If it's going to eliminate all of those other copiers and all of the different inks that you have to stock and store and go get and all of that, everything will just be going through this printer, so you won't be doing paper here, paper there.
Right, and then we'll have, do our copying. And the best feature that I can see is the scanning, because we have no way to scan and put documents in, to email to other facilities. I have to come down to town hall. If I have something to scan and have to send somewhere else, I have to come to town hall, they scan it, email it to me, then I need to email it on to where I need it to go.
Did they offer you any kind of a maintenance agreement so that if you bought a used copy or you could get a 5-year agreement?
She didn't really go into the details on it, but we have had agreement with them for 6.5 years.
Our last copier, the one prior to the one we have now, was bought through B&B, so they do give maintenance agreements.
Okay, so how many copiers do y'all have now?
Copiers? We just have one copier.
I mean, no.
We have printers. Three, four printers.
And they all work?
Yeah.
So we could, auction those off or...
Yeah. If you want,
if they work, that's something I don't have. yeah, Steve, if you need it, you need it.
Well, we're going to need a copier eventually. Like I said, it really catches us and has to run down here all the time because you're talking man hours of gas and back and forth. And this was a hand-me-down town hall before. It's 9 years old, 17 years old.
2000.
Yeah. It was about when I was a kid, so we put another...
They have put a lot of work.
It's probably over the past.
Is it something that could the money be taken from one of the capital accounts
you've got the contingency?
Okay, I think it would be considered the contingency because we found out that one of the projects that we've allotted over $30,000 to accomplish, it looks like it's going to be substantially less, more than enough to cover that. If you want to transfer some funds from, if that's feasible.
Well, it would come out of capital outlay. Anything over $3,000 is going to be marked as capital outlay, but we would take it from contingency and do a budget amendment toward the end of the year.
This is an opportunity where you can save us money for what I can do with $8,000. There will share a chance to imagine it.
That sounds like it. When we get through a discussion about printer, we will.
She'll call tomorrow and make sure that they're going to give us a full warranty and everything on it.
Okay.
I will say everything out before we purchase
that. Sally, you have the same brand of machine, just a different year?
Well, I'm not sure if it's the same brand, but like I said, we've had really good service out of ours. We haven't had a problem with it in the 2 years that we've had it. And B&B gets good. I mean, they get good service. If you call them, they come.
B&B, and she tells you.
Is it?
Okay. I'm in agreement with.
Okay, Mr. Monteverdi, you have a comment?
My comment is that we have some rules about getting bids on equipment, and we're not following that tonight. That's the first thing. We're not going out for bids. Now,
The other portion about one single copier, I can tell you from having loss prevention people and them doing different things inside of some of my buildings, they would never let sensitive information go to a common printer, ever. I doubt that, if you rethink it, I doubt that Mr. Ballard or Mr. Dixon would, something that they're working on very exclusively, would send it to this printer. So you're not going to do away with all these printers. I don't think so. I don't think that's a good plan. But I would suggest that we rethink the process and rethink how we get a quote, three quotes. Because that's something that shouldn't have just come up here tonight, because it's not in the agenda pack.
But there's a limit. There's a limit that department heads
can get out for quotes. We're talking about a lot of money here, and you may come up with a different situation.
No.
You may find that your competition out there tells you, I have this product that's better. But you don't know because we haven't gone there. We haven't gone out and sought three people to talk to. Yes or no?
Yes. That's my comment. Sorry, does the council have the ability to waive that on certain points? And again, this is a thing where they're not going to hold it for 3 weeks while I get other quotes. And like I said, we've done business with the company for years.
But years and years and years.
He's right. The power is yours, you're the boss. I'm just explaining to you what the situation is. You've got to make the final decisions.
Anybody have any comments or feelings on what'd you say? I'm sorry.
The next 3,100
is the model number. It's kind of hard to see where you're going to find a one-year-old machine that's less than half price. And I think it's go ahead, Sherry.
Could we take a break, and I'll get our purchase policy. And
pardon?
If we can take a break, I'll go pull our purchase policy.
And I'll look at the model number on that.
All right.
And I'll make my comment after.
Okay. I'll resume the meeting. We're still on the police department issue. What were we able to find out?
Okay. As far as the purchasing policy, the amount of purchase up to $3,000 is considered a small purchase. No quotes or bids are required, and the decision maker is the department head. From $3,000 to $6,000, purchasing quotes or bids must be obtained from three more qualified providers, unless it is shown that there are not three qualified providers in the town area. But then it goes down and it gives exceptions. It says the town commission approval. The town commission by motion may alter or waive any of the purchasing policy requirements for any particular purchase except in the case of a statute or grant requirements.
A suggestion, is there any reason that we could give the authorization to between yourself and the chief and as to which ones to buy, but to go ahead and get two quotes tomorrow, and we're just going to leave it with you that the maximum we would spend would be the $3,500 at this stage, because that's, you know, the one that you're looking at, but get two other quotes that you feel would be comparable to have a comparison, and we'll just take your advice as to which one to get, because it sounds like we need it. So, you got any thoughts?
I'd go along with as long as I get two more quotes.
Yeah, I think it's advisable too that even though it can be stretched, why it doesn't. I think Mr. Monteverdi is correct. I think in the fact that we may run into something, you never know. That you will find out if you go ahead and make the request. It still should be plenty of time to make the purchase.
Dick, do we need a motion?
I think we do. Is there any other comment or anybody want to comment on that?
No, three bids is good.
We'll go ahead. We'll make a Why don't you go ahead and make a motion?
I move that we authorize Sally and the police department to move ahead with getting a copier for the police department, providing they get two more bids, and authorize the expenditure up to $3,500.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried 5-0. Next item is fire and rescue. Sally, you want to go ahead?
Yes, the fire chief, he had to go ahead and leave. He just wanted to report, I shuffle these, that they are having a large number of calls inside the city limits, 15, outside the city limits, 8. One structure fire, 2 brush fires, 2 vehicle fires, 3 vehicle accidents, 9 medic assist or rescues, and 6 hazardous conditions with a total of 23 calls. And Ken dropped a note up here because he had to leave and said that we are, let me just read you the note, got to go to work, was just going to bring up calls for October 23rd and being approved for the 50-50 on the pump grant. So we will be reimbursed approximately $2,800 of the $5,600 we had to spend. So that cut the cost of getting the pump fixed in half.
Good.
Thank you.
Is that it for the fire?
Well, can I bring up the part about the consolidation of the two departments? I mean,
yeah,
is that under the fire?
Is there something to
Last month we discussed the consolidation of the 3 South Levy fire departments, but no conclusion has come up yet. And we were kind of, the last week, last month, we decided to wait until we saw how Yankeetown was going to feel on putting the 3 fire departments together as one. And so I contacted Tommy, their commissioner, their councilman, and he said that he did not want to bring that up during budget times, and they needed a little time to recover from the budget process, and that he would be putting it on the agenda. So there's a lot of questions about doing this, responsibilities, who owns 3 different sets of equipment, who gets the paycheck for everybody, who's going to handle the paperwork. So we are probably going to go ahead and meet the 3 fire chiefs and the 3 council commissioners one more time to discuss this, and then he's going to take it before his commission, because if they vote no, we won't even have a reason to vote on it. And that's it.
Just a matter of interest, is there any reason that Levy County has given that they're not the ones making the decision that they're leaving it to the towns?
Yes, they're the ones that brought this up, and we were told it was going to be kind of mandatory to do this, to work something out, and now they've kind of like backpedaled and said, well, this is your decision and your...
So they don't want to make a decision, that is what
it's
you're saying.
It's beginning to look like that, and they did make a comment last time because the firemen would all belong to one fire unit, but you would still retain the substations out at Peaceful Acres and the one in Yankeetown would be, you know, substations. But one of the men did from the county make the quote of, well, after this mellows out after about 2 years, if one of your trucks is needed to be used by Williston, it would go there, something like that. So we're like going, it's not what it appeared to be in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. How the South Levy, Roger Crossman, feels about this?
Roger is for it because it's going to really benefit him more. He has no ISO rating. They're a corporation, a nonprofit corporation, rather than a city entity like us. And so they don't have an ISO rating, and ISO ratings affect your insurance that you pay on your home. Well, if you put all 3 departments together, Inglis has a lot of very active younger guys on their department. Yankeetown has the big equipment, but their firemen are older, and they would kind of like to see the young guys, you know, have at it whenever they want. And Roger would have added advantage for his people that using everybody as a member of the department, it would change the ISO ratings, which would give everybody a better insurance rating, but it would give them their first insurance rating because they don't have an ISO rating out there. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, anything, land use, code enforcement, George, you got anything there? I know you're gonna have something on a future one here.
No, sir, I'd love to reserve, review of town cleanup if possible.
Okay. Okay, let's get to the consent agenda. Would someone care to make a motion?
Commissioner Kalman, before you, vote on that, I just wanted to let you know that, these are the September financial statements, but they, once the auditors come in and do, their review and, do adjustments, they will adjust these September statements, so they will change.
So we're gonna get a different, another copy?
Yes, sir. Once all the adjustments are made. But, and that probably will be after the first of the year, so.
Okay. Someone care to make a motion then about the consent agenda?
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, the minutes, and the financial statements.
We have a motion, do we have a second?
Motion.
You have a second? Comment?
Yes, just with one comment, please, that it has to be, changed from August to September, please.
September, all right.
It's already on there.
No, but I'm just mean if somebody else sees it, they need to see we change it.
It was already corrected.
Oh, okay.
Okay, anything further?
We need to take a vote.
Right, okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries, 5-0. Okay, planning commission. Do we still have someone here from the planning commission?
No, sir, I'm going down planning tonight, but, we shut earlier with Andy Dollar.
Rayback report.
Rayback had, their street dance and also the, dance for the school. The street dance was not as successful as we had hoped. The, school dance was a little more successful. We are working really, really hard to put together the Christmas program and the, parade. And right now we have, it looks like we're going to have some floats. We're going to have a band, which we haven't had in previous years. I can't remember what school it is, but one of the junior or middle school bands will be participating. The Lions Club from Yankee Town, the Women's Club from, English Yankee Town are helping this year. Not only are they going to each put in floats, but they are working to get the gifts, for the children, so we should have nice gifts, to give out. The English so-and-sos have, made some jewelry. Some of the ladies have made some jewelry for the little girls and some, boy-type necklaces, that we'll be giving out as well. And we're working toward having the mayor of Yankee Town and the mayor of Inglis be our grand marshals. So I'm very, very pleased at this point, and George was kind enough today to go before the county commission and get our approval to close, 40 off for the parade.
Great.
So that's the Rayback.
Okay, thank you. This next item is, under old business, and, it's a, an item that I put on there. I thought it was time that we had a little bit more discussion on it. Over the years, there's been, a lot of discussion on town cleanup and the getting rid of these old abandoned buildings and, trying to in general upgrade some of the properties in town. And, for the most part, I think until recently when George got a hold of the program and came up with some ideas on a little different way of approaching it, he's been having some pretty good success in getting these properties cleaned up. The reason I wanted to bring it up tonight is that there has been some money that was allocated for
for helping and aiding some of the people that have derelict buildings. It's a little bit different approach that he has been taking with these people. Rather than tell them to clean up the property or we're going to take you in the court, he's gone through them and said, we need you to get your property cleaned up, and that we have some suggestions, and we have some means of helping to do this, so that it's not, hopefully it's not going to be a huge burden. And he has been fairly successful at it. Well, it means that there are a few areas and a few things that have happened that have required the town to spend some funds, which were allocated. I think there was like $5,000 put into his into a fund that said that he could use it in an emergency if he needed to. There has been some discussion, a little bit of concern about using town funds to clean up personal property, but that's why I'd like to get a little discussion about it. In my mind, it's really in a sense no different than when we go down and do a cul-de-sac, pave a cul-de-sac for a couple of people that have a house on it. It's monies that are expended. The people that are close to living to the area are the ones that are going to have the most benefit. But in the long run, the whole town benefits because it's an upgrade. The whole town will see a benefit. I personally see no difference between that and no derelict building ready to collapse. We've got to help people that will come in and they will remove that trailer, or at least parts of it, for nothing. There are times that there's things left over at the end that need to be removed. The first option is to get the people to do it, but there are ways that the town can help, and it does cost a little bit of money. But my personal feeling is that when the job is done, that's an upgrade. You've not only benefited the owner, you've benefited the neighbors, and it seems to me to be a good way to spend a little town money, because it's been a trying thing to try to get these properties cleaned up. But anyway, I'd like to, if George would give us a little bit of a rundown on what's happened in the last 8-10 months since he's gotten started on this.
Yes, sir. We have had what I feel is good success out of the first round of, you can call them citations if you like, code enforcement. We sent out originally 11 letters. And all these letters were stating that we would help the people clean the place up, remove it at very little cost to them. So far, we've kept our word at that. We have had 4 takedowns completely that we have participated in. There's been three owners that have cleaned up their properties on their own. I still have one more on the list that should sign up tomorrow. I've talked to them today. But my agreement with Waste Pro is coming to an end, and I'm not sure what kind of an agreement I'm going to be able to make with them. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be for the same price that we originally started with last spring. They're in the business to make money, and they have helped us just about as far along as they can on the generosity. Actually, no cost to Waste Pro either. They're making nothing on the first ones we've done. It's their labor cost and their dump fee that they're charging me for. They're not making anything on it, but it's beginning to come to an end. The one that's on Shear Street that I'm getting ready to sign up tomorrow will be the last one that Waste Pro will help us with at this low cost. There was money allocated or talked about. I declined money at the time that it was talked about because I didn't know exactly how much we would need or where we were going with this, and I wanted to ask the commission, this is last year's commission before some of you took seat, to give me a chance to figure what it's going to cost us per house. And at that time, as I needed more money would be allocated. The figure of $5,000 was sent out. I have not nowhere near exceeded that yet. As state, by the time I pay Waste Pro next week, or the $2,000 I originally started with, I'll have $4,000 left. That's a takedown four houses. So we haven't exceeded the $500 a house that we originally talked about. That's some are less, some a little more, but it's still an average of $500 a house that we're using to pay Waste Pro to get the unrecyclable out. The ministry is still helping. That's no cost to town. I feel now that I should ask for some more money to be put over into the code enforcement so we can continue. If no money is put into code enforcement, we're pretty much at the end of the road of the freebie. There's no other way to clean up town without leaning properties. Leaning property is not a profit. It does very little. You've got to wait until the property is sold before you collect your lien money. It could be anywhere from 5 to 20 years. You never know. It could be next week, but you don't know. So it's up to the commission tonight, I would assume, if they want to continue this town cleanup. It makes a domino effect. When we clean one piece of property on the street, the houses on both sides clean up. So it is I think it's worthwhile. I think it's as worthwhile, as you say, as to pave a street or do a cul-de-sac or go in and do anything else that we've done in town worthwhile. I just need a consensus from the new commission to see if we can continue.
Commissioner Kelman? The problem with it that when at the end of the budget, at the end of last year, September the 30th, any monies that had been allocated prior went away. So basically, during the budget session this year, the town allocated $2,000 to code enforcement. So that's all that has been allocated for code enforcement. So in order to put more money in there, you would have to do the same thing as with copier. You would have to take it out of contingency and move the monies back into code enforcement if you know you feel like you're going to use more than $2,000. So that's what he's got right now.
Unfortunately, some of the billing that has come in from Waste Pro did not come in before the new budget. It's come in after the new budget. Our new budget has been ratified. So the monies that I had intended for last year went away. Mm-hmm. So what I'm working with now is the money that was allocated for the new budget. That's just the billing process. I didn't get to use any money last year. It's all being taken out right now.
Yeah. I know that this is new to some of the at least the two. Do you have any feelings one way or the other? I think the only thing I can say is that. I can remember for years ago the town planning a town cleanup or how to approach it, and it has never gotten off the ground. I think until George got a hold of this thing, and we, like he said, with Jesus Ministries, they come out and they will just do the dismantling of the trailers. They will go ahead, and if it's something usable, they have the right to keep that. We do sometimes end up with burnable stuff. We've talked about a means of getting that out. Danny's got a dump site or a burn site out there at the water plant, and we figured there's a means. We've got trucks. Jesus Ministries will load the trucks. So if there's wooden burnables, they can be hauled out there to the burn pile, and when we get enough, we can turn it over to the fire department to have one of their training sessions. The town has done that in past years, but in general, we're just having a hard time. Some of the people there are the expenses that it would be nice not to have, but I think, in my opinion, it's a worthwhile effort, and we've been trying for years to get something done about these old broken down buildings and the things that are sitting on a few of these properties. Go ahead, do you have something? Sorry.
I just wanted to say if it would be of any assistance, if you need local hauling like that for large equipment, tractor trailer size, that I'd be willing to donate that equipment and time. provided you had the means to load it and unload it.
Yeah, well, that's very...
Flatbed type equipment.
Yeah.
You know, that for the town cleanup, you know, mm-hmm. I would be more than happy to, you know, if I had some kind of advance notice, so I could put it here.
Well, George, if you can figure out how to, you know, get the information, how to make any, how to contact him, why that's a generous offer. But anyway, the reason I really asked to have it put on tonight was because of the comments and the fact that it does involve town money and that there's been, I think it's maybe not 100% making everybody happy to spend town money on an individual piece of property. I think it just depends on how you look at it and compared to something else. Go ahead, Sally.
I've been to several of George's takedowns, and it's awesome. It's a domino effect. Other people in the neighborhood then get the feeling, and they start cleaning theirs. A ride through any street, you can see the effects of these going through Kaysen. It's really exciting to see how other people follow suit once this is started, and I think this is a program we really need to continue. And George has faced the real obstacles with some of these people when you tell them you would like to have them tear down their house or clean up their yard, and George is really, he deserves a gold medal for the effort that he's put into this and the success with the people that you would not think came around. Mm-hmm. We need to follow through with this program to spiffy up Inglis.
Go ahead, John.
George, how much money do you think you need to continue this?
You're going
to ask
a loaded question.
I think for the rest of this year, going into the spring, and we know that this is working now, and we're not wasting our money. I think if it was the original money that we talked about last spring, we'd be fine. Like Sally says, if it's not used up by budget time next year, it goes away. So the $5,000 that we talked about last year to go into code enforcement, I don't know why that couldn't be fulfilled now since we know what exactly we're doing. And this, we could possibly do this with, there again, we're talking about using maybe some town employees for business and burn some of this stuff. But your mobile homes, there's very little burning involved. But when we started some of the houses, like the one I took down on Ronald's, it was primarily wood. It had a lot of burn. We spent a little bit of money on the dumpster piece because we did not come up with a plan to burn. Mobile homes are easy. I can get by with one, two dumpsters at the most. And right now, those dumpsters are currently costing $250 a foot, so that's $500 for that. If once we start into some more of the wooden structures, I think I can still keep it to that. There is some unrecycled, some things that have to go to a certain yard at the disposal site because it is EPA, DEP regulated. I made a deal with Waste Pro to give me a specific dumpster for $200 a month. That's four pulls once a week for that type of debris. But I cannot nail them down right yet what their 30-yard dumpsters are going to be. They're evaluating what they've done for us, and they should positively until they come up with a figure. Cannot have any more for that $250. If we could see a way to put the original monies in, in that. If I don't need it, it goes right back. It's all being looked at. Everything, Sandra keeps track of every check that goes out, so we know where the money is going. It's not like it's going to buy my lunch.
Go ahead, Sherry.
And also, I have a question. I could be mistaken, but is there not, at their old dump site, is there not power lines over it and gas lines under it?
That's not
you're talking about a different one then?
Yeah, Danny said he's got a kind of a burn area there at the water plant. It's out in the back of the property.
And okay. It's a legal pit, you know. As
yeah, it's not up there. It's where the power lines and the gas lines and stuff are.
Okay. I just want to make sure because I was recollecting that we had this situation about 5 or 6 years ago.
I believe the way we're doing this, one at a time, it's controllable. We know almost immediately now, since we've done so many, how many dumpsters this will take to take this building down. I'm working real close with Lee Wheeler, who is with Jesus Ministries. We can almost look at them now and see what it's going to cost before we ever get started.
Mm-hmm. Tom, being the money man, how do you feel about it in general?
It's a great program, and I think George is doing a great job. One of the things we need in town is to clean it up, to clean up the derelict houses and all the trash that's out in some of the properties and everything. I'm really for it.
Okay. Well, we do know one thing, that there are some people that are giving them a hard time, and we may end up in court with a few of them, because I think one way or another there's a few bad ones that are going to get cleaned up one way or another.
Yes, sir. We have some LLCs and people that have bought property through repossession, bankruptcy, foreclosure. Mm-hmm. They are not local, and we probably will end up in court with them.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sally.
Yeah, I was going to ask George if you considered using your volunteer firemen to burn that stuff.
We haven't worked out all the details yet, but yes, ma'am. That's that was one of our ideas. Is once we get it up to the burn site, we'll use the fire department. Now, I am also working with Race Pro about some grant money. They're filling me in about some town cleanup projects that we may qualify for grant money. If that takes place, we lose less town funds. But that's not a guarantee. We have to qualify.
When I was a fireman, we did control burns, but we also did several houses in Yankeetown that we legally burned down.
The laws have changed. We can't
That's
burn
what I wondered.
On site. We can't set a fire to one, and because there's been so many chemicals discovered in plastic pipe, and insulation, things like that. So, yeah, we'd like to torch a bunch of them.
Yeah, we were offered the opportunity to crawl through these with the SBA.
Yeah. The deal is now to take it and disassemble it, separate it, and burn what is allowed to be burned.
Well, getting back to this, in order to keep it going, you feel that the $5,000 put into that account and use it at your discretion, get the best value as you can.
That's months of usage. I mean, we're only into our first month of our budget.
Yeah.
I've got until October of next year to ask. So I'm looking at 11 months of continuing this.
Yeah.
I don't think $5,000, if I only have to ask for it one time this year, I don't think it's too much to spread around.
Okay.
I was just going to ask one question. Out of the money that you spent last year, you said, do you know how much more you're expecting to come in as far as billing from that original amount?
I have one billing coming up next week from the house on Polkon and Ramos. I expect that to cost us, it was a wooden house, and I expect that to be $1,000.
Okay, so the commission might want to take into consideration that we've still got some outstanding.
I'm saying, in other words, we're not covered on that part of it. Well, somebody have a suggestion? Want to say if you've got $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000, you want to say start with something like $8,000 for the just moved over?
I have enough right now to pay for the house on Rumpus. There's enough in there left to pay for that. So I do not have enough to go for the one on Shear. And that's the last one Waste Pro is going to give us a discount price on. But I do have enough to cover the one on Rumpus.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion that we move $5,000from contingency to Sally, whatever line item that needs to be, to allow George to continue with the cleanup in the town.
Second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second, and we have some comments from the
Michael White. I think George has done a fantastic job, just like Mr.
No question about it.
Fight a lot about other stuff, but we're right on this, and 70 we were putting $5,000 in there, sounds like that's $4,000 right off the bat. And when he says, oh, in the budget year, that money just went away, it didn't just go away, it went into the money you guys put back into the general fund. So I would think you need to boost that up to about $7,500, so he's out there working and he ain't in here worrying about, hey, getting a little back, because it's just going to go right back into the thing at the end of the year. And then it seems like he's nickel and diming it to every little penny, and he shouldn't be worried about that. He should be worried about kicking them doors in and helping clean the stuff up. So I'm sure I'm next on his list.
Well, I like your suggestion. Go ahead, Mr. Kirkland.
Great, Kirkland. I just like to say that you need to be real careful. I may be the only one in here, but I don't like public people picking who's going to get the help. I just don't like that. It has rings of socialism to me, and it's not your money. It's the town, it's the people's money. And for you to pick and choose, I'm going to help these guys, this guy, but I'm not going to help this guy. That's a slippery slope, and it happens all the time. I understand that, but it's still not good. It's not healthy, and it's a slippery slope. Wow. And then after a year or two goes by, you've done this program, and it worked out a lot fine, and I'm all for cleaning up, you know, the junk houses and all that. I mean, not against that whatsoever. But it's private property, and I don't like your comparison between, like, building a road. That's a public road. I can go on that road. I can do anything I want to on it, you know. I can be on that road, but I can't go on that private property, because that is private property. You're helping private citizens, and you're picking who you're going to help. So that's a slippery slope. I don't think we should go down it at all, and I hate to be a stick in the mud here, but it's not good policy, and it's not a good precedence. Because next year, something else is going to happen, and we'll spend $10,000 on that, because it's a good idea, until we're, you know, it's just a slippery slope, and I think you should be very, very cautious at spending the people's money on private property. And that's my two cents.
Thank you. Mr. Monteverdi?
I happen to be in great favor of what's going on, but I don't like the process that's going on here tonight regarding the $5,000. We sat 3 months and put together a budget. You have rules that we can't go over a budget. For 40 years, I closed the books with 7 or 8 people, and if somebody was going to go over budget, maybe my boss came over to me, he said, Bill, I need $60,000. You find it, come back and give it to me. You guys need to go find $5,000 and give it to him. Cut your budgets $50 a month. Find it for him. Because this is what I listened to all last year. As soon as we had a story to tell, we all went to the reserve. So we did something. But nobody found the money, that little tweak of money that we all had hidden away. $50 a month from each one of your departments, we're giving him his money. But the challenge is back to you to go find it. We just can't continue this month after month, creating a budget, and then changing the budget. So if you give me the authority, I'll go find $50 a month from everybody's department, but I think you can find it yourself. You know exactly where it is. Find it and give it to them. But don't take it out of reserves. Find the money, reduce the expense.
Well, how about out of contingency? Because we do have a place that we could pull it from dollars that have been allotted this coming year for a project at the water plant. It's not going to cost us, we found out in the last day or two, anywhere near what we have allocated.
If you wish to take it out of that and reduce your number, that's what should happen as a normal process.
We could do that if that's, I think this is part of the discomfort in the thing, because I think Mr. Kirkland has a point, going on property, but on the other hand, this has been a thorn in the side of Inglis for a lot of years. There's been a lot of discussion and a lot of not getting anything done. And George has been doing a fantastic job.
I'm all for getting it done. I think everybody has a different viewpoint. My only viewpoint is budgets and how they're controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So if we decide to do something, I'm used to so many years, like if my wife comes and says to me, we're short here, I'm going to go look at my in magazine subscriptions, my Wall Street Journal, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying to her, okay, I'm just going to continue on. I go find the money, or she finds the money somehow. We need to get in that routine. If we got something that's happening, collectively five people need to go figure out, where am I going to get this money from? That's the only thing that troubles me, because I listened to this almost every month last year. And sooner or later, the $5,000 is now $80,000. And then nobody knows where it went to. And then you in reality are not supposed to approve anything that's off budget. It's in your rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things to discuss here. I just happen to know the Muni Codes, but they should be up on that computer alive and well for you guys to look at ahead of time. But you're not supposed to go over budget, and I would suggest you find the money for it. If you want to make a transfer into his account out of yours, I love that. Because now you don't have as much money as you had before.
Right. Does that make sense to you? It could be done this way. And I think the other thing that George also is doing here is that I don't think it's like Mr. Kirkland was saying, in a sense, well, I'm going to help this guy, but not this guy. I think there have been, I don't know exactly what the reasons are, but I know that he's worked out deals where some of the cost has been shared. One of the people that he worked for said, well, geez, I'm not sure what the approach was, but they ended up splitting a dumpster bill, a dumpster
bill. Several viewpoints, and I have my particular agenda, but you also have another carting service that has a franchise here in town that hasn't been mentioned.
I'm sorry, what?
I have another carting service in town for businesses that maybe you want to talk to. Another carting service.
Carting. Oh, you mean hauling? Okay.
You have Waste Pro, and what's the other company? Okay, well, you have another company that maybe you need to talk to. He's going to give you the money.
No, Jeff, I can make one comment. Since I've been here 4.5 years. Probably from day one, I had citizens come in and tell me about Darrell's property. I've only had one gentleman that would step up and say he needs help. One guy tonight. Everybody else is like Mr. Kirk. They'll make a comment, but they won't help. So what else is the town to do? Do you want it cleaned up? I don't have this gentleman. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
If we had people like him stepping
forward, we would not have got that. And I want to put my heart into it. That's why I moved here. Mm-hmm. I like this place.
Every time you step to that microphone, you need to give your name.
Stephen Smaldridge, Blackie Rose Enterprises. And that's why I just said I moved to this community. I'm part of this community, and if you're not willing to give a little, you can't expect to get a little.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Kirkland.
Yeah. Since you brought my name up, I have to have a rebuttal. I am not against cleaning up the house, but you have no right taking my money to do whatever you want to do with it. It's not your business. It's not your money. It's not their money. It's the people's money. And it's the same thing. There was a story a long time ago, and it was about Daniel Boone in the Congress. And he went out to do a little, he was campaigning, running for office again, kind of like this guy is, it sounds like. And he was
he went out and this guy says, I'm not ever voting for you again. He says, why not? He says, you guys last up in our house, our Congress, voted to help a guy down here whose house burned. And it is, you know, this guy's house burned, and they voted, it was somewhere near the D.C. in that area, you know, and it was a well-known person or something. And the house burned. And so the Congress, the United States Congress, voted to build his house back up. He says, I'm never voting for you again. He says, why not? He says, well, do you realize what you've done? You have created a monster. Because now you guys will vote, because that's not your money you're building that guy's house with. You're getting reelected by it, by spending our money. And it's a slippery slope. And it gets very, very big. And I'm not against helping anybody, and I will help. You know?
Well, is it open for any comment, any help we can get to come up with?
Let that be settled once, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm not for telling these people, I want your money to go over here and help this person. That's not my business, and that's not their business. Mm-hmm. So it's just a,
you know.
She's got, Steven Smaldridge, and I wasn't running for office. I was offering to help with my own money and my own equipment.
Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was, I think the program's great, and I think the checks and balances are that we have in the town are great. I mean, we're in the back all the time. Our auditors always tell us that. So that's not an issue. We have a contingency fund, am I correct?
Yes.
Isn't that what this is for?
Yeah.
Items like this? So that's a given. Okay, what I think might be nice, little notes, George. What I was thinking, this gentleman made a point. It is honest. It's not your money. It's not your money or my money or anybody. It's everybody's money. Why not, when we're doing this, go ahead and do it for them, bill them for it, put a lien on their house after the fact, get it cleaned up. If they are able to contribute, fine. If they aren't, take that into account, but hold them responsible. I don't think any of us mind helping anyone else, but if you give it away, why should any of us do anything? Why should I keep up my property and spend my money to keep up my property if everybody else gets theirs done for free? Because they just refuse to do it? I don't doubt like that. Children like that. They don't do it because they know you aren't going to make them do it. And that's how they get things done. So I don't know. It's just a suggestion. I like the little notes for you. But I appreciate what this gentleman said. And Mr. Montgomery, I know you're from a business background. So it's like if everybody gets, you know, into a space where this gentleman says, I came here and I want to make this town better, instead of how bad somebody is or isn't, how about how good everybody is here? This is a small town, and we've got so many people doing such great jobs out of the goodness of their heart. I wouldn't do what Miss Sally does if you paid me $1 million a minute. There's not enough money in this world to do what this woman does, and yet people are all first jumping on her for this and that. Same thing with several other department heads as well as every commissioner up here. So I just think, how about if we look at the good and make people accountable and responsible for their own business, action, and their problems.
Go ahead, Tom. As I said, I'm 100% for what George is doing. He's done a great job. And he has been the only one who has gotten it done. Before we give any money, I hate to say this, I believe we should I believe we should look at the state statutes. I don't believe we're allowed to spend taxpayers' money on private property. I believe there's a state statute that says that.
I don't have a problem with that. If you lean on properties, that would still be $5,000.
Yeah, you know, if you lean them or something, that I believe becomes a different thing that you're allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe we can spend taxpayers' money on private property. I believe there is a state statute.
Certainly worth looking into or to find out.
Before you know.
Tiff, I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
I would just like to thank every person who came and sat in a chair tonight.
It is so great to have people out there, but I especially thank the people who come up to this podium and offer their opinion. And I love the fact that we're letting people come up here and talk without all this paperwork in the past. We learn from y'all too, and I think y'all have really, really opened our eyes and given us some good thoughts tonight.
I assume this is favorable.
I think Tom makes a good point that maybe this is something that needs a little further look at. I know it's on some of the ones where there's some money's left over that is the approach that you have taken as to whether you're going to, you know, you're going to have to pay for having it cleaned up, and I guess some have, and I'm not too sure of the other circumstances. But
don't have to do the one on Shear. We haven't signed papers yet. We can leave that one alone.
Yeah.
But I do have to pay waste coal for the one on the rocks.
Well, why don't we, until we get maybe
I'll
a chance
my second.
to check it out a little bit more before we do anything further with it.
Yes.
You mean you still want to talk on the same subject, or you?
Well, I just have an idea.
All right, go ahead.
Now, this might not work, but here's the thought. I don't think anybody in this town that has traveled around a little bit throughout the town disagrees with the idea of what is going on here, because we want to see the cleanup. I mean, there's a lot of places that really need to be dealt with. Maybe it would be possible to get the townsfolk or anyone interested in such to donate to a special fund just for that purpose. Then it's not taxpayer money then being spent. It would be donations from the town because we want to see it cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there would be pretty good response for that. Maybe even more than $5,000.
Well, that might be
something to think about.
Yeah, it's a good thought. Have some fundraisers and use that money.
I wanted to add that last part of that Daniel Blinn story. It's too short. He was running for the club of running for Congress, and so he went back to the Congress, he stood up in the midst of our Congress up there, and he says, all right, he says, I'll put my paycheck, and a portion of it or something like that, my 1 month stipend or whatever it was, and let every one of y'all join me if y'all want to help this guy build his house. We have no business taking taxpayers' money to do, and you can do that. So that was the end of that story. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good thought, Bob. Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's move on. We've got on to new business, and first, I think you asked to do one of the North Florida Economic Development Partnership.
Right.
Go ahead.
2 weeks ago, I went to the North Florida Economic Development Partnership meeting in Live Oak and took with me the new Nature Coast economic development guy and someone from the Planning Commission, Daryl Diamond. It was a good meeting. They changed the format. They now want to hear from each of the counties as well as the municipalities as to what we're doing for economic growth so that they can see how they can continue to assist us in making the things happen and help with anything that we need. Daryl was able to secure a scholarship through them to attend an economic development meeting in South Florida and brought back some good information. We also talked about the North Florida Broadband Authority, and there had been a glitch in getting the broadband wireless system moving ahead, and that glitch has now been taken care of, and the Broadband Authority is moving ahead. And for those of you that don't know what that is the 14 counties that make up the North Florida Economic Development Partnership were able to secure a $33 million grant from the federal government to bring high-speed wireless internet service to rural areas. And that is moving forward and will be completed in the next 18 months. In conversations that I had with Jeff Henry, who is the head of the North Florida Economic Development Partnership, as well as spearheaded the Broadband Authority, when they found out that we had half of Inglis already wired for wireless, they were very excited, because that's part of the infrastructure that will be needed. And Jeff, along with the engineers from the North Florida Broadband Authority, will be coming to meet with myself and the mayor and to take a look at our equipment, and also to take a look at the water tower to see if some additional antennas can be put there. And with that will be the discussions as to whether or not Inglis would be interested in becoming its own ISP. And since we have part of the infrastructure already on the tower at the community center, I just wanted to make the commission aware that this is going to be a possibility. And I'm working on two grants currently with different to see if we can possibly get the rest of the town wired for wireless internet. If the town is so interested in becoming its own ISP, which would mean that we would turn around and sell the wireless internet to customers, and we would have about a 7-mile radius, which means we would reach into Yankeetown for customers, we would reach into North Citrus County for customers that have no broadband available to them, also out into the county on the east side as well as the north side. This would be a revenue stream much very similar to what we have with the water department. It would be a way for the town to have additional revenues coming in. As I get more information from this and have the meeting with Jeff Henry and the engineers, I certainly will be coming back, but to the commission with that information. I just want you to be aware that this is a possibility, and it is a possible revenue stream. We would be what they call the last mile provider, and we would be buying bandwidth from the North Florida Broadband Authority, which is the middle mile provider, much the same way as other internet providers buy bandwidth from their middle mile providers. As you know, in a lot of areas in Inglis, broadband is not available. DSL is not available, nor is Comcast available, because the fiber optics aren't run to some areas. And if you're too far away from a hub for the DSL, you can't get it. This will be a way for people all over rural North Florida to have the ability to have broadband, and there will be other communities becoming middle mile or last mile providers as well. So it just was something that I wanted to bring to the attention of the commission and to let you start thinking about whether this is a direction that we might be interested in taking. Having said that, I'm going to move to the A item, which is the request to join the Suwannee River League of Cities for $100. And the $100 that we spend every year for the North Florida Economic Development Partnership is what has brought us to the point where we can even consider being our own ISP. And I'm asking that the commission approve a $100 annual membership to the Suwannee River League of Cities, because those contacts that we make in these organizations help us with our economic development. They help us, particularly the Suwannee River League of Cities will help us in knowing what is coming before the legislature and helping us be prepared if there are things that we need to lobby for at the legislative level. They're there to help us. Currently, there's legislation now to do away, that will be coming before the legislature, to do away with the enterprise zones. On the surface, this looks like, oh, it's going to be great because every rural area is going to be an enterprise zone. Once you get into reading that legislation, that is not the case. The incentives that are in enterprise zones today will not be there. It will not be there for the state to help with the rural economic development that we now have in the enterprise zones. Inglis is not currently in an enterprise zone, but if this legislation takes effect, we will not have the ability. So what I'm asking for is the $100 annual membership to the Suwannee River League of Cities so that we can stay on top of legislation like this and have the help of a whole body lobbying to make sure that legislation like this doesn't happen and that there is a voice at the legislative sessions for rural Florida, and particularly this area, when we know that the coming economic development between the port and the power plant, that we're not forgotten and just run over.
Any questions?
Me and Sally have been to some of these development meetings, and you'd be surprised what goes on out there at these meetings that normally people never hear about. And we've done this on our own time, and I'm not bragging or anything, but we've taken the time to do it because as your public officials, it's good to know what goes on in surrounding towns around you. And I don't know myself, we might could take it out of one of your line items. Do you have it in your budget?
Yes.
So it is important because these leagues do have a big, I don't know what the word is, to do with what does happen to the towns. And because now we're smack in the middle of progress coming right at us like a train track here, we need to do everything we can to help get some funds in our coffers. So I think it's a good idea.
Make a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we spend $100 to join the Suwannee River League of Cities.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
Any further discussion?
Trina, do you have any idea of other cities that are in this Suwannee? Does it serve just that district, or are they going out and soliciting?
Williston, Yankee Town, Cedar Key.
Okay, so it's not just.
Yeah, no, Fanning Springs. It's primarily Levy, Gilcrest, Dixie, maybe some Taylor County. It's an offshoot of the League of Cities, which we do belong to. It's the regional group for that. And I do know that I have been getting information from them all along. I have attended their meetings. I just think we should be part of it. And there is a meeting next week in Cedar Key that I will be attending. So.
Well, these are all smaller cities that relate
yes,
the world to us.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there are no large cities.
Okay, nothing further. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Can you give us the date and time of that Cedar Key meeting?
Just a minute. Let me look it up.
while you're looking it up, I gather this, did you intend that, on the second one, to do anything as far as...
No, I just, that was just an information item.
Okay, okay.
Just to let you know where we're headed with that, and for you to start thinking about whether or not becoming an ISP is something that the town would be interested in doing. Somebody will be the last mile provider, whether it's Inglis or whether it's someone else. My feeling has always been, since I've known about this, was that this was an opportunity for Inglis to have a revenue stream that might lessen some of the tax burden. Plus, it would give, certainly give the town of Inglis a reason. If you have broadband internet available, that is something that businesses look for when they come to a community. And if you have it available, then that's something that, that is important. And my feeling was that if we are our own ISP, and we can reach the port, and we can reach the power plant, those are huge dollars that would be coming into the town coffers for their internet access. And it's an 11 gigabyte pipe that we have available to us, which is bigger than Comcast has, and it is larger than DSL. So the high-speed internet is available there, and there's no reason why we shouldn't look to the future and say, if we're an ISP here, and I've already spoken to Progress Energy and have them thinking in terms of, if they build this power plant, their ISP is here. And if we had it available, would they consider? So I've already talked to Amy Madigan about the possibility of them buying their internet access from the town of Inglis if we move ahead with this. So I really think that it's something that the commission needs to give some serious thought to. And since we already have a portion of the infrastructure, which is what, when Jeff Hendry found out we already had a portion of the infrastructure in place, was why he wants to bring the engineers down here. And they want to take a look at our water tower for additional antenna space and to look at what we currently have. I also am working with...
Would they rent space, by the way, on the water tower? We have a, we do have an agreement with the people that maintain it, but they're the...
I'm aware of the agreement that we have on the water tower. If we are our own ISP, we would be renting the space. We put our antennas on that. And that is one of the highest towers we have. The other option is that we can look at who has the tower on the Myrick property. And we could rent lease space on that tower as well. We just have to look at what's available in the area, Dick, and then see what else we need and what it's going to cost us, because there's going to be a cost. There's going to be an infrastructure cost to start with, although I'm working on grants for that. I had a wireless company that David, the economic guy, overheard at breakfast last week or 2 weeks ago talking about wireless internet, and he asked them some questions, told them what we were trying to do in this town, and they were interested enough to tell him that they have grants available. I've already had one conversation with those people, and I'm looking forward to a contact with the COO of that company to see what they have available to us. So it's something that if we can do it, I think it's a bonus for this town, and the fact that we already have half the town wired is putting us in a good stead with the Broadband Authority. To look to us to be one of the first places that they're coming to look at with the engineers. So,
you said there's a 7 mile radius.
That's what they're projecting with the antennas, that the last mile providers will have a 7 mile radius. And depending on how many sites that you put around increases that. And I don't know just what, how Inglis is going to want to do that, because you're going to have other middle mile providers. AT&T is probably going to be a middle mile provider. Comcast may be a middle mile provider. It's not like we're not going to have competition, but it's something certainly that I think we have to take a better look at and just not offhand say, no, we're not interested. Mm-hmm. Because part of what they did initially 18 months ago when this was first brought up at a North Florida Economic Development Partnership meeting was that they were looking for communities to be their own ISPs. That was part of what they were looking for down the road. And we're looking at about 18 months before it's up totally and functioning.
Are you saying that this is the strength the same throughout the whole area, or the further you are away, the less?
It's my understanding that because of the size of the pipe and the power that will be going to the antennas, that the signal strength is going to be probably on the fringes is not going to be as good. And there should, just like cell towers overlap, there's going to be some overlap in that. But they project over 98% of the land in the 14 counties that are available, that are going to be here, will be covered, and a lot of that will be overlap.
Mr. Monteverdi?
I think part of it is worthwhile, but this is the advice I would give based on my experience with IT departments that I had managers running, and we're talking about our own private systems. An average programmer gets about $97,000 a year as of about 6 years ago. Consultants get about $240,000. The amount of hardware and update equipment that you would need to protect this kind of system is beyond our core competence as a town. You cannot compete with people that are in the business. They have their own problems day after day because of the issues with all of these Trojan worms, all of the things that are happening to you. I can tell you that one time we discovered that at night somebody in another country broke in and stole all of our storage space, and they were storing data on our servers at night, and it took us 2 days to figure this out. I can't tell you how many times we had emails come in and go out to all of our clients, and we infected everybody. The amount of expertise to do this will overwhelm you. I do think that if you want to provide local service, you should. But to manage this, I would suggest then, because my expertise is now old, I would suggest that you get very, very good advice from very, very capable people before you even contemplate thinking about an ISP service. I can tell you this is not a core competency that this town has.
Thank you. Are we ready to move on?
Yes.
In fact, Mr. Monteverdi, you could stay up here. You're next.
Okay. Let me just say something. A year ago, Mr. then Mayor Lake said to me, "Is your job, you want to be town manager?" I told him no. I still tell you no. And here's the reason why. I honestly put this in the paper and put it on the agenda tonight because I've come here to the meetings and I've realized that I myself, and plus others, we need somebody to do our homework for us. We need somebody that's
educated in running a whole town, not little pieces of it. And I'll give you an example, like for tonight. When Danny got up here and said that the tower got shot out, a town manager would have rallied all of us together, and there would have been an emergency meeting, because in my mind, if it happened once, it's going to happen again, and pretty soon. And I listened to all the discourse that goes on tonight, particularly with different things, and we're not sure what to do. So it's the process that's a problem for me. I have to learn every time I go read something. I spend 2 hours learning what went on just to get up here on prior things tonight, because I read everything that's in your packet. And I realize that you're not allowed to talk to one another. So that's a huge handicap. And I watched two new people come in here not knowing what to do. And we have nobody that acts as a nurse, a mother hen, a manager, a good listener, a good delegator, a good everything about town law, everything that goes on here. And I think if you examine the process, you all are kept in the dark, because you're not allowed to talk to one of them. But you are allowed to talk to the mayor, but he is also new and not an expert in the law, and he's admitted that. So we have a whole process here that if we had one person to go to that was knowledgeable, not some rookie, knowledgeable on specific areas, and I'll read this, I think we would come out with a much, much better town, more efficient in our decision making. We would make better decisions, I think, quicker, and I know it, less money. This is the attorney's bills for 2 years. 2 years, I read every one of them. The amount of money that we spent, we could pay a town manager. Honest to God, you have no idea what's in here. I listed in my ad, in my letter to the editor, we actually spent $13,000 with the lawyer to do the trim notices. Do you know they can be done in this office? But we need somebody to teach us that. I don't know it. So you have to hire somebody that understands it. I listed everything. So, like tonight, for example, look how long the meeting was and how unsure we are of everything. So I'll use this phrase again. We need somebody to do our homework. If Mr. Kelman, you have a problem and you wanted to discuss it with somebody that's, let's say, broad-based and has the knowledge of town, you could do that. Sally could. Dorenda could. Everyone could. But right now, you can't even talk to each other. So I honestly believe if we were to employ a city manager, that we would save the money here and have a much better town. Now, I know this is a lot to absorb. So I will tell you, I don't have the competency for this job. I'm not sure that there is anybody in town. Competency, I mean, I could not. What I wrote down here that somebody must, in my mind, to be a city manager should be, I don't have but one of those skills. That's all I have. I don't know municipal law, I don't know the water plant, I don't know a lot of things. But I know from the process, we collectively don't either. And I have looked at the way some of the other towns are working. And in Williston, they seem to be, if you look at their minutes of their meetings every month, they meet twice a month, the things are done, things don't drag on, but the city manager is held accountable by Fugate and the other councilmen. Same thing is going on in Dunellen and Levy County, and of course, Chiefland. So I'd like to just read this to you, because this is my opinion, but this, none of this is negative. If I was to get it voted in, or my wife, or Lorraine tomorrow, she wouldn't understand, I don't think, some of these new positions. If Lorraine went into Road and Bridge tomorrow, would you really know what to do? No. And I wouldn't know what to do. But we need to have somebody that does. And
So here's what I wrote, and I hope I explained this, because I think everybody does a great job. I just think we need a mentor, a professional mentor to get us through this town. So I wrote, in my opinion, we need to employ a full-time city manager to work with our mayors and commissioners. The position requires a thorough knowledge of municipal law, financial systems, accounting, project planning, grants, police and fire, human resources, and water facility management, and there's many more things. With direct responsibility for all the departments, this individual will be able to assist every commissioner. You all are the liaisons, but the city manager should be able to go directly to Danny and directly to Steve and be their direct contact day to day, and you guys are the advisors. That's the way these other towns are working. The city manager will provide stability and constant management of town functions, some of which are currently outsourced. So I know that every month we spend $1,000 to close our books with Beecham. We spend $13,000 just to do trim notices. And ironically, one of those trim notices only gets $29,000 revenue. So there's a lot of things. In my opinion, this function can be done in-house, which is the trim notices. That's just a file. Dorinda probably can explain it. It's a common denominated file that Fugate gets, and he just tweaks it based on the columns, whether you got a home or it's vacant property or whatever. And I call them, and the file's free. So our sister cities, Chieflin and Williston, currently operate that way. And I know tonight you're not going to make a decision or do anything else. All I ask is that, would you consider this? Because I honestly believe it's going to be an aid to you. And if people come up here and have a question, they can probably get the question resolved during the week without bringing it here, and then just making sure the city manager updates you and all of us as to what goes on. What it doesn't remove your responsibility, just makes your job easier to do. So I call it, give your homework to somebody, is my little catchphrase. And I don't want to oversell it, but this is based on what I've observed for 2 years. I have been down so many things that I haven't got an answer for, meaning I had to go look them up. It's amazing what I've learned in 2 years by just coming to these meetings. And I only know that much. So little.
Yes, I appreciate your thoughts, because tonight really opened my eyes to things that we're doing wrong and we don't know we're doing them wrong, like the three bid for that, and thank goodness Tom brought up the fact that, you know, we might be breaking the law, spending people's money, and I think it would be awesome myself to have somebody here that would be responsible for guiding us. Where you can talk, I, you know, the only thing I ever say to Tom is, are you still riding the trike? That's it. Ask for how's our help, and that's it. Because we're not allowed to talk to each other, and that is very, 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 very difficult. And our mayor, he's new, so, you know, I don't care how much experience you've got, we all sit up here tonight and look at the, you know, the mistakes we could be making. I personally think that a city manager, with looking to the future and the growth that we've got here coming, we are going to need somebody to be responsible for what we're doing.
You know, maybe you can have a conversation, a suggestion with the cities of Chieflin and Williston and Dunn Island, and see how they operate and how they function with it, based on what I read online and listen to occasionally from their meetings. They're pretty buttoned up. Most things are known before you get into the meeting. Everybody's been communicated with. All the, you know, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. There's very little doubt. Let me just put it that way. But again, I call it the process. It's not about people, your skill level, or my skill level. It's a process that's broken.
Okay.
Now, if you want me to move on, I will, but I hope you would consider something, because I really want this town to progress, and I don't want to overtalk this.
Well, I appreciate everybody's input tonight, and that's like you said, just having somebody who is trained and knows overall instead of just in specific departments.
I'll just list very quickly some of the things that you pay for that could have been done in-house if thoroughly, if we were thoroughly aware of what goes on. We entered a Brown property extravaganza a couple of years ago. That cost us a ton of money, and most of you remember that. We've got zoning that goes on every month that goes to Fugate. We got special assessments. We talked ourselves into a $3,000 bill on Park Street for a park that we never asked anybody about, and he got a bundle of money. We spent a ton of money on this garbage contract last year, only to have folks come up here and say no to you, and we all backed away, and the only one that really got paid was Fugate, and you got a lot of money in this garbage bill, and I hope someday you resurrect it and bring it back out. You got a sign that we spent $13,000 for right out here. It's supposed to be an emergency sign, but nobody can see it because it belongs at the police department where everybody can see it. These are just examples of things that, if you look at these lawyers' bills, it's an eye-opening experience, and somebody other than it's full-time needs to do that, really full-time, and really knowledgeable, and must live in the town. Okay, I think I'm done. You're all looking at me.
Well, the examples that you gave were small amounts of money compared to some of the big ones that we've...
Well, I didn't get into the lawsuits or poor Andy White and his water meter or any of that other stuff.
No, I'm talking about projects that we've done here that have cost us far more than these amounts that seem big, but when you look at the pre-iron filter not being put on the plant and the stormwater runoff $600,000 fiasco and now we, in order to buy our way out of the Waste Pro thing that happened, they have a 5-year exclusive right to pick up our garbage. Nobody else can compete because of a mistake that we made. And I quite frankly, I totally believe we need somebody overseeing everything that we do. I really do. And I thank you for being such a thorn in everybody's side. I love it.
But I work hard to be that. Honestly.
Here we are with the Muni Code.
I have to go dig every month when I read the commissioner's packet on Thursday. It takes me time to go through that. Now, I do it because I enjoy it. And I do it not to pick fun, but when I saw the contract for the interlocal agreement, I knew tonight that the other interlocal agreements didn't have the wording that was in it. Now, my first thought at home was, oh my God, what are we getting into? And until the lawyer explained it, but the truth of the matter is that needed to have been explained to everybody before we even probably got to the meeting, even if it was an internal note. Because that, the town manager could do, city manager. So what do you want me to just cease and desist on this subject?
I would say so.
Okay. All right. But is there any action point? I have one more thing to do.
Well, as far as the
city manager,
I need to get out the next item or to...
I only have one more. And that's the proposal of filling vacancies.
Oh, no, I thought you meant something else.
No.
Before you get on to it, I think Mrs. Berger has a question or some comment she wanted to make.
She has an agenda that she wants to talk to you.
Sure.
Well,
Betty Berger.
Relative to what he just discussed.
Betty Berger, you certainly remember Mr. Norman. He was an extra son here. We still needed the lawyer. We needed everything that he said we could save money on. Nothing was saved except that you didn't have your independent powers, you still couldn't talk to each other. There was no, that was a mistake, and you voted him out, and he was good at what he did. He didn't fail you, but you realized that you didn't need this extra sum. That it's just more money, it made a lot more than you guys do. And he didn't live in this area, but you didn't find anyone in this area that could do the job. He did a great job, but you found you didn't need a city manager, and you still don't. Now, I think Mr. Monteverdi puts in a lot of time, and he cares about this town. But I've got the history here. I know that you had a city manager. It didn't work. The people complained. They didn't want the expense of it. And it would cost you a lot more than $300 to $350 that you each paid. So anyway, so I'm going to address the next one too. I don't want the town charter changed. There's not enough reason to change the town charter. Mr. Monteverdi is very good at what he does, but I've lived here 52 years. Not in Inglis, but in the surrounding area. And I've been to about every meeting anybody ever had after you got organized. So, I'm just pleading with you, don't make the same mistakes. You won't live long enough to make them all over again. Take the mistakes somebody already made. Don't add to them. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Monteverdi, if you want to move on to that. Sure.
D-I-M-Y, be great. Okay. Let me just paraphrase. I've written everything out here in a proposed way. The current way we fill vacancies, according to the charter, is simply that you all get together, and if you can all agree on somebody, no matter who it is, as long as you agree, that person is asked, and you bring them into the fold. If you can't all agree, then you've got to go through the steps. What I'm suggesting is, we just had an election last March, and all the people in this town voted. And as the vote count came in, I think it was Sally, then Tom, then maybe Andy, then Bob Webb, and then David. And then when the mayor came in, it was Williams and Lake. I think if somebody should resign, or leave the area, or for whatever reason, that we should go back to the last election, ask the next person in line, because people voted for that person, give them a couple of days to say yes or no, and then move on to the next one. If there's no takers in those folks, then fill out the rest of it the way the wording is then, that you all go back and you select somebody. You look for somebody independent. So all I'm asking you to do is, the first step is to go back to the last election. So in this particular case, let's just say if Sally was a commissioner and Tom was the third one in line, and Sally says, I'm leaving, we would automatically go to Tom and say, Tom, you were the next vote getter, and do you want the job? And fill the vacancy for the time allotted. That's simply all I'm suggesting here. I've rewritten it. All in front of you, you can change the words around, but in summary, that's what I'm saying. I think the people's vote matters, and I'm going to leave it up to you to make a decision. I'm only recommending that, because I know this much. If I ran for an office and it was open, and I was the next candidate, I would want to have them. Now, I'm not running for anything, so. But I think it deserves, if Bob Webb's the next guy, then it's Bob Webb. If it's Mayor Lake, it's Mayor Lake. It's wherever it is. Any comment? Should I go sit down, or?
I'd make one comment. It's certainly a thought, but
I think, I mean, we have the option of doing exactly what you're proposing right now.
Yeah, but that isn't what it says.
But it can be done. Okay. I mean, I don't think there's anything in the book says you can't go to the next person.
Okay.
What we're doing is you are cutting back the opportunity, say, to get someone that maybe has some expertise in a certain area that would really be good in it. They just, you know, but they're not interested in running, but they would be interested in filling out a term, and they might be have a very valuable competency in an area. You know, maybe they've run water plants, and it would be ideal to have them come in.
But that isn't who the people voted for.
Is it because what they voted for, or is it for the good of the town?
Well,
what is in the best interest of the town?
Let me just say this much. If you actually chose candidates based on their experience level for that job, real experience level, then I would be a happy camper. But I think you could do some soul searching and discover that isn't the process that happens. It's the good old boy, good old girl network that happens. So I'm trying to take it out of the political arena and bring it back to the people. The people voted for, I think, Bob Webb next.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it would be Andy White, then Bob Webb, and then David Harding.
Yeah.
And in William's case, it would be Mayor Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm suggesting, that we follow. If those people don't want it, then you move on to the way it's written.
I understand what you're saying. I personally would rather have the option to take a look at other people rather than take it out of, say, the commission's hands.
Okay. Is there a chance I could get a vote? A second? Somebody to do something? Because I
think everybody comment. I don't know if we're going to have a vote. It's up to the commission. I just made a comment that I think we're minimizing the commission's
No, what you're really minimizing is the people's power of the vote. The people voted. They came here and voted based on promises that people set forth and said that they would do. And when you don't follow that, you negate their trust. So if you were to hire somebody other than the next person in line for me, then I don't care if it's a good decision or bad, but the popular vote to me makes a big difference.
Yeah. I think the lady in the back is a farmer.
I'm going to leave. But you know, in 2.5 years, this is exactly what I've been faced with. 2.5 years, nobody makes a decision. They don't even say, "Bill, go get lost." It just goes into never neverland. So that's why a town manager is important here. And I can tell you the string of things that you all promised you'd look into, I've never gotten one word from anybody. None. So I'm better off writing in the paper. But I hope you start to consider that this town's important, and there's lots of folks that are starting to come to these meetings because change needs to happen quickly. And this is one place where people voted, and I want them to have their vote, and I want their vote to count, not some backdoor exercise in some room. Thanks.
I appreciate everything you brought up, whether we agree or not, but I do appreciate it very much.
Ray Cooleyman. I'm a little bit confused. If it's an elected office and a person leaves that office, don't you have to have another election to get another person into that space?
Right now it's set up that the commission, they can appoint somebody to finish out a term, but if they can't find the person or agree on who it is, I think it's within 60 days, then they have a new election. I believe that it's something like it's on that order.
Okay, so he's just asking that you appoint whoever was next in line as far
right,
as
rather than take a look election. at it may be people's expertise or maybe somebody else's they think would be a better representative.
Okay.
That's.
I was just confused. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're down to public comments. Do we have any public comments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to workshops and special meetings. Oh, I'm sorry, Bob, I didn't see you. Go ahead.
Bob and Helen, I agree completely with the second proposal that Bill made, because I've been in the commission seats and I've seen over the years how appointments are made, and they're not made on expertise. And it's the idea of going to the next person in line in that election that was voted on by the people, they voted for those people, that should be the first choice, not the last choice. And then the people's voice is then made, and it's received, and it proceeds. That person, whoever that was, the next one in line, spent a lot of time, and they spent some of their money, and they worked hard to at least be on the ballot, because they wanted the job. And I think one of the most important things that can be part of the job up here is wanting to be on the job. And that person went through the trouble to go through all that because they wanted it. And we don't have a town full of people with expertise on anything. We've got people that are just regular people. And that's what's on our town commission. The only expert we've got here is Tom, because of our experience. The rest of us are just regular folks. And we don't need the expertise, we need the word of the people. And that's more important than the rest of this. And we don't do the expertise thing anyway, that's a joke. Thank you.
Okay, now I need to say something. I just want to say that I feel, and I have since day one, like the odd man out up here. I have made motions where I got no second on something that I felt was important. And you make a second in order to have a discussion about something according to Robert's Rules of Order. But I've been almost silenced because I'm embarrassed that I don't get a second on something that I want to just have an open discussion. So I would like to make a motion that we go to Bill Monteverdi's recommendation and we take the people's choice instead of our choice.
No, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Proves my point. Thank you. We're here for the people, not for us.
Workshops and special meetings. Go ahead. She had one last comment.
National politics, such as when a senator becomes president or becomes a state senator, becomes a U.S. senator for that state, it's the governor that appoints
right. The
replacement. And if you're elected for that session, then the people that elected you, they give you the authority and the power to make that decision. And if one of you step down, that election cycle has been fulfilled into your hands. And you have the authority to choose that person that was next in line. But you also have the authority collectively to decide if there is somebody that you feel is more suitable for that job, for that session. That person that ran still has the opportunity to run for the next session. So my opinion is that what you're proposing there, that it stays, the power stays in your hands, is what I think is proper, because that's the way it's done nationally. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a reference, it's also done by the county commission. I believe we're going to have our second appointee on the commission.
Yeah, I think the governor.
We already have one for the governor.
Yes.
Nothing to do with who ran for it. Go ahead. Do you have a...
Ashford Merriman,
Excellent. I agree. There's times, and you've all been sitting for some time now in your elected seats, and there's five of you here, so I've been out for a little bit, so I guess I'm missing a fact. Who's leading? Is someone leading?
No.
No.
Okay, so what's the issue about putting somebody in as appointment as opposed to the next in line?
You'll have to ask Mr. Ronald Ricky if it was his.
Somebody's leaving. I'm sorry, I had other business. Excuse the question. But I think that was a valid point. You've been sitting for a time, you've been cohesive, you've been working together. Who better would have a feel, and you're all elected by all of us, so who would have a better feel, who would come in and be cohesive? Maybe balance it out, who knows? I think that's an excellent way to do it at the time. Then when the general election comes up again, then everybody elects the new one at that point. That was what I got from this whole group. And I'm sorry that some of you feel like you're odd man out. Sometimes that happens in elected and succeeding. I've sat on a lot of boards, been elected to some things. So I understand that feeling of feeling out. But it's your opinion that's up there, and that's always heard, it's always recorded, which makes it heard by the public. So the next time that the rounds of elections come up, it's there, it's on the record. Whatever you're serving and doing is shown, and that's what you stand on, is your merit of your work and what's being said here at these meetings. So I think it's very valuable, and I think a cohesive team is real important.
So are you and Mr. Smallridge running in May, in March?
To what?
Are you and Mr. Smallridge running in March?
No, I'm too busy, I'm sorry. I mean, all that would be awesome.
The only thing I'm running is Lucky Rose Enterprises, so I don't have time to do other than to run my business, but I do want to take a community active position in the new community that's, you know.
Thank you very much.
I just have one point to come back on. We all remember when Edward Michaels left. He left on his own volition. He went someplace else. The mayor did talk to me about a certain candidate that he wanted. The truth of the matter, if we had applied the rules that I'm asking for, Andy White would have been in. And there were lots of people up here that did not want Andy White in because he's a catalyst, he's a go-getter, he stirs the pot. And politically, he was excluded. But the people voted for him, and I've never forgotten that. And Andy White is on the list to fill the next vacancy. Whether he wants to or not is beyond me. But there is as much politics going on with you five as to who gets picked that I'm very upset with that. And I've watched it happen. And you've made some choices that aren't good for you. So that's why I brought this whole subject up. I'm going to write more about it. I think it needs to be written about. I think this town needs some more spark plugs. I hope a whole bunch of you people get involved in this town. Positive and negative.
Okay, the next item is workshops and special meetings. Do we have any, need for any particular subject on a workshop or meetings? Anybody have anything in mind?
The only thing that we will be doing in January is putting out a notice for Planning Commission members. We'll have four seats open. And we'll be holding a workshop and special meeting.
January.
And that will be in January.
Okay. Is that nobody has anything else? Sally, do you have anything as town clerk?
I do. I just wanted to read a letter. I don't know if everyone is aware, but for the last 7 weeks, and our mayor. Kind of orchestrated this and thought to fruition. We have the Suwannee River Economic Council that has been sending someone down on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they have been doing hot meals two times a week for the senior, they say it's for the senior citizens, but I don't believe that they've turned anyone away, even if they weren't a senior. And she brought a letter into the office today and asked if I would read it. It says, "Dear Mayor Williams and Commissioners, we opened our mail site in your community center on August the 23rd, 2011. We are there on Tuesday and Thursday at 11:45 a.m. This is our seventh week, and I would like to let you know how it is going and what we have been doing. I would personally like to let you know what a great thing we are able to do thanks to the use of your building. We feed between 17 and 25 hot, nutritious meals two times a week. We have also sponsored guest speakers covering the following subjects: medication management, a focus group for Well Florida to talk about Levy County. On October the 4th, 2011, we started on living with chronic conditions, and on those days we served breakfast as well as lunch. Our first class, we served 40 meals that day. During the focus group, the participants explained that they would like more health support, including guest speakers and more days for the meal site. We have reached out to participants who are unable to have hot, nutritious meals. The only barrier for more participants unable to come is transportation. Would you be interested in us increasing the number of days per week that we run the meal site? If so, we would serve breakfast and lunch. Other possibilities include an exercise class, craft, games, and maybe even bingo for groceries. I would be interested in starting immediately if you are interested. We are grateful that you have graciously allowed Suwannee River Economic Council to use your community center for a mill site. If there is anything I can do in the future, please don't hesitate to contact me." And she says, "Thank you, Bernadette Preble." And she is an Older American Act coordinator. And they have had tremendous response. And I think one thing that always turns out with a group like this is that some people come not only for the need to have a hot meal, but they just come for the fellowship, yeah, you know. Nice. So I think they're really doing great, and we've not had any problems. They come in. It's basically, I think what it is TV dinners. So basically they bring them in. They always bring extra in case they have more people show up than what they plan for, but they bring them in and serve the meals. They clean up. They've done everything. I mean, it's just, it's a blessing, because if you see the people that go back there, and like I said, it says for seniors, but they don't turn anyone around, turn anyone away. So, you know, they're willing to come, and there's no cost to the town other than the use of the building.
Do you have any idea how many people show up on a typical day?
Well,
do you have any
they said
results?
17 to 25 meals two times a week.
Okay.
So they've had anywhere from 17 to 25.
Is this something that your committee, Reback, would be involved, since it involves the community center?
Well, Reback's not involved with it, but I can tell you they do leave the community center clean when they leave. I'm in there twice a week now with different groups, and we have no problems with them. And I certainly think if they want to increase the number of days, that we ought to allow them to do that, because I think there's a lot of people being helped in this town that otherwise would not be helped and otherwise may not even have a hot meal. This is important. I wish that we could figure out a way to get the transportation for those that can, but I just haven't been able to figure out how we can do that.
If we had volunteers, you know
if we had
could volunteer.
To pick them up. If I didn't work full-time, I would be doing that, because I can put 7 people in my van. But unfortunately, I work and I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But I think that if they're willing to come in here even 5 days a week, we ought to allow them to use the community center for that, to make sure that particularly our elderly mm-hmm. are getting hot meals that they might not otherwise get.
Do they come in and set up the tables?
Everything.
The
tables are already set, because we have something in there every night. The Friday night, it has been that if the sewing group sets up the tables, we leave them as how they're set up. AA arranges them the way they need them arranged. On Wednesday nights, I arrange them. AA does it again on Wednesday. Unless there's something in there over the weekend, the tables are still up. So they don't have anything to do. The tables are there already for them. So they don't have anything to do. They leave the tables clean. If they want to do it 5 days a week, I don't see any reason why they can't.
And one of the women that comes, she's elderly. You know, it's usually only a couple of people that come unless they get somebody to come in. And they said, you know, if somebody would like to volunteer to come help them, that they would be more than glad to have them. But they work hard at it. And we also have another group that has started coming when, I guess it's, is it WIC? It's not WIC that comes once a month and gives out food.
The food pantries.
It's one of the food things that on the, what they're trying to do now, they set it up now on the months that they don't come. Another group, it's the Father's Bread Table or something like that. They're coming in and handing out food to the needy. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on that are being very helpful to the people in the community. And I tell you what, if we could get about 6 or 7 people that would come and volunteer their time with that kind of thing, I mean, it would be a wonderful place to help our senior citizens.
Yes.
People got time on their hands, they could do a lot by
volunteering. I know that at least once some of the ladies from the First Baptist Church mm-hmm. have come, and not to eat, but to help, and to help with the fellowship with these mm-hmm. people that are coming to eat. So
we've not gotten any complaints whatsoever,
Well, is it the kind of thing you want to go ahead and notify people if they want to provide the meals and do the thing?
I don't see any reason.
Do we need a vote on this, or can we just consensus?
I didn't understand, Sally, if they just wanted to start including breakfast, or did they want the other days and breakfast?
Well, what they said, when they've got someone to come in and teach a class, they come in earlier, and that's what they did for about, I guess, 4 weeks. They had some classes going in there, so they came early and served breakfast to the people that attended the class, and then they turned around and served lunch also. So that's basically what she's saying. Would you be interested in us increasing the number of days per week that we run the meal site? If so, we would serve breakfast and lunch. So they're saying that they would come and serve breakfast and lunch.
And for some of the elderly in this town, mm-hmm. that would be huge for them because they're living on very, very limited incomes.
I think we ought to do it.
And it's in the daytime, so you really could leave it at their discretion how many days a week they wanted to come, you know.
I'm for it.
Is there any possibility, Lorraine, that your church with your buses and your little transports?
I was thinking about that.
Make that a mission?
Oh, yeah, I know that most of the drivers go to school, but there are some of them that drive the buses on Wednesday nights that might be willing to go around and pick people up. And if you could call, mm-hmm. I'll call Bonnie tomorrow and ask her mm-hmm. if she can kind of get involved.
They might also just consider delivery to some of the people that can't get out, you know, just some volunteers that would come and pick up 10 dinners and take them to their
specific
places.
Mm-hmm. And some of our elderly that drive, you know, my grandmother and my great aunt, bless their hearts, they were 89 and 90, mm-hmm. and they delivered Meals on Wheels one day a week.
Yeah. Why don't they have a regular bus route that they pick up the youth and the kids?
They pick the kids on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings, and they're not
So if you know of any elderly people that live around you that may not be getting meals like they need, tell them about it. Because, you know, we've put out posters and things like that, but a lot of people just don't know about it. So.
Is it on the sign?
I'm not sure. I think we have put it on the sign. It's not out there now because it falls off after a certain time, but we've got posters in there. Right. So.
But what I'm thinking is maybe if we put it on without a time off date, just like so that, because I know from experience that what we put on that sign generates, people see that sign more and they know to look there. And so we might want to put it, when we know what days, just mm-hmm. put it up on the sign so that people going by, and it might be that somebody goes by that knows somebody in their neighborhood that needs that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't get out. So
I've done an interview and story twice on them for the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Good. But it's starting to build up now, so maybe this will.
And
I'm not sure if it's just for Inglis, or I don't believe it is. I believe it's just for senior citizens, you know, so. And I know the other food maintenance coming down, as long as you're a resident of Levy County, you know, they will, I think they'll turn you around, yeah.
Well, is this something that, I think Tom asked a good question, should we make a motion to say to go ahead and discuss it again with them and authorize if they want to do it 5 days a week or have breakfast,
whatever they want to do.
At their discretion.
At their discretion.
If you want a motion, I'll make a motion that we just send them a letter and let them do what.
Well, I'll call her. I'll call them.
Do. That would be my motion.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried 5-0. I think that's worthwhile. It's nice to finally see our community center used.
Mm-hmm. Well, she told me to a lot of people, it's not the meals, it's the socializing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. To mix and talk to other people.
Yeah. Some people don't get to talk to anybody. It's a shame.
I can tell you that the computer class, because my average age in the computer class is 65. I have people that are in their 80s that are coming to that class, and they're really not coming to learn.
Mm-mm.
Because they come year after year after year. It's the social interaction that they get.
Everybody has a story, and I think one of the neatest things in anybody that had children that went to Yankee Town knows Miss Stewart. And Miss Stewart, it was kindergarten teacher for years and years and years. She started coming to during this class, and she had never, you know, she's an elderly woman and had never used computer, and she was just so excited about learning how to use email and those kinds of things. So you never know, you know, people that you would think would never be interested in it. It's opened up a whole new
communication. She's well in her 80s, and she has her, last year she wanted to buy a computer. I helped her buy her computer. I won't say that she's learned how to use it very well, but at least she's trying, and she knows how to make her reservations to travel on that computer. If nothing else, she knows how to make her reservations. So.
Okay, well, why don't we do that? And Sally, do you have anything else?
Oh,
see if there's any last minute comments.
Okay.
Five,
no. Six. No, sir, I don't have anything else.
Sherry?
I'm trying to do a new story.
I'll leave you last. Sally, do you have anything? No. Anything last minute? Tom?
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, some of the people left. Comments have been made a couple times here. Anybody who talked to me when I ran for public office, I told them kind of what I was about. I haven't changed my views. One of the things I was very adamant about when I talked to people is, this is a strong commission, weak mayor. I was adamant about that when I ran. Anybody who talked to me knows I was. I am for a strong commission, a weak mayor. The mayor is not running roughshod over me, and I don't believe he's running roughshod over the commission. I don't have that problem with James Williams. He's a good mayor from what I get so far. But I am for a strong commission, a weak mayor. You folks, and even I, the public for some reason gave us all the duty, we run this town, not the mayor. And as far as I'm concerned, it's never going to happen in this town if I can vote against it. And anybody who thinks different of me is thinking wrong. I am not giving up anything from this commission to any mayor. And that's why I ran last time. That was the big reason why I ran. The people had listened to me. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no thing that's come up. Sally, I'm sorry if you're offended. Mm-hmm. I'm not out to offend you.
Yeah.
But one of the things as we sit here, other commissioners are going to agree with us and others are going to disagree with us on topics. On the two topics you were talking about, I disagree. And I am entitled to my opinion. And you are entitled to your opinion.
Right.
But to chastise me, and I believe you chastise me, or the rest of us, I don't think was proper. You have your opinion about those two topics. Each one of us has ours. I have my opinion. We had a town manager. I went down the route with the town manager. I worked for him. He was the boss, and I honored his position. I didn't agree with him all the time.
Right.
There's good points and bad points of a town manager. I have my view on a town manager. I'm not really for it. And as far as the other article, I stated my thing. We have two county commissioners that are sitting up there now who are appointed by who? Not the vote, but by the governor. There were other people who voted and didn't get in, and they didn't get the position. And I'm sorry if I'm getting a little emotional, but I feel I got chastised for my right, for my opinion to sit here and vote. I'll vote for you when I agree with you, and I'll vote against you when I do. And I know you will vote it with and against me and the same things. Truthfully.
Yes.
And just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I don't like you or I won't vote for you next time.
Well, I'm glad to have the opportunity of meeting to bring these things up, Tom.
Well, the only time we can talk about something that bothers us is at the commission meeting.
I'm glad you thought about
it. And that's why I'm talking about it now, because
yes.
Some stuff was said, and I don't think it should have been said. I got upset at the beginning, and I've held it until public comment.
But what I'm saying is, if you don't get a second on something, you're not even supposed to discuss it.
Well,
if you have something you want to bring up, and you can't talk to everybody, but it's a good idea, but you can't get a second to discuss it. A second doesn't mean you're going to agree. A second means you're going to get the right to vote.
But it does mean that the other commissioners didn't want to discuss it. It could mean that, And I know how you feel, by not getting a second. But then it could happen to any one of us.
Well, I appreciate and I respect you a lot more than, look at the years you put in here.
That's got nothing to do with it.
It is, though. Look at you are the most awesome financial person to be doing this because you understand. And to say that tonight, sorry about that, but I'm put on a pedestal and you're not coming off. So,
Mr. Cameron, I just wanted to make a couple more comments if I can, and Commissioner Prosser reminded me of it. When we put the packets up on the web because everybody wanted the website and the packages go on the website with everything that's coming before the commission. So anybody that has a computer, and most people do, especially the people that attend the meeting have one, they have every opportunity to read everything that's going to come before the commission. So, and I think that's the reason y'all are given your packets early enough so that you have opportunity to review everything, that's in your packet. And a lot of time could be saved by asking questions prior to a meeting than bringing them up at the meeting because you have your packets. And if there's Commissioner Kalman, most of the commission, if there's something on there they want to discuss, they'll come in and we talk about it prior to a meeting. It just saves a lot of time. That's the reason you get your packet earlier. But the main thing I wanted to say, because I know this is going to be on tape for everybody to hear, but someone made mention about the mayor pre-signing the agreement, and I feel like that it warrants the explanation of what happened, and Ms. Lorraine will back me up, and the chief will back me up. The chief brought that agreement in for the mayor to sign, not realizing that it had to come back before the commission. We sent it up to Norman. That's the reason we found that out, because I said, well, let me take it, because I overheard the conversation. I said, let me take it. I'll send it up to the attorney to find out. I sent it up to him. What he seen on there was that there was some names spelled wrong. The attorney for Williston, his name was not spelled correctly. And then there was something else, a couple other changes that he wanted, as spelling and correction. So he sent it back. Had conversation, had Jennifer call Ms. Lorraine, and Ms. Lorraine contacted them about getting us the name changed, the correct spelling. Well, we are still waiting on that copy. So the original one, I mean, the one that was signed in the first place is not the one that's going to be sent, because we're still waiting on the crisp copy with the attorney's name. That's the one. So all of those will have to be executed again. So the mayor did not sign something thinking, well, I've got the authority to sign. He did not know. And I think, you know, I think it was kind of cruel to accuse him of overstepping his power, because he was told, well, no, you can go ahead and sign it because it's a renewal. But then he found out, no, I wasn't supposed to. So that's the reason it's still the original copy that's in there, is because we're still waiting for the name change, and it was the attorney for Williston. His name was spelled incorrectly, and Norm said it needs to be correct before we send it in. So that is why his signature is on there. So he will re-sign that when he comes back. The corrected copy, so. I just didn't want him to be accused of doing something that, you know,
yes.
It was an honest mistake. It was not something he intentionally did.
He didn't have a mistake, it was mine. Because I thought that instead of being charged by the attorney to look over something we're renewing every year, I just thought the mayor could sign off on it. So.
That's good. We'll just blame it on the chief.
Well, I wanted to explain to y'all and to Steve why I voted against that, because I guess I need to go to Drenda's computer classes, because I didn't know all this stuff was online. I thought you only got it in your packet.
No, so the full packet.
I'm talking about like the...
Linda Verde had a lot to do with getting that
like out of there. I didn't know these things tonight, and when I took a look at those when I got home and took a look at those, there were a lot of questions I had about it.
That entire packet is on the web.
And then when we asked Attorney Fugate, we asked him, is this identical to the ones before? And he says, well, pretty much so. Well, that's not yes or no. That made me really uncomfortable doing something that I hadn't seen the old one to know, you know, what the changes were. So that was my reason for not voting on that. Nothing against anybody else up here, but...
Well, I just wanted to clear up about yes. the mayor, because, you know, he's not here to defend himself, and I knew exactly what had taken place, and, you know, I told Steve, I said, no, I think that has to go back before the commission, and we called, and he said yes, so we sent it up for him to review it, and that's when he discovered that the attorney's name was spelled incorrectly, and he said, y'all need to get this. And Miss Lorraine, did you not have the conversation with Jennifer
mm-hmm.
about the same thing? So that's the story behind that. So he will re-sign the corrected mm-hmm. copy. The content is still exactly the same. It's not, nothing's changed in that.
Exactly.
Just the spelling of the attorney's name.
And nothing that I said was against the commissioners. When I always thought that you put a motion on the floor and got a second, and then you had a discussion, and everybody could vote against it, but if you don't get it up there for discussion, you've not done the procedure to get it there.
Robert's rules
yeah.
says that you can, if you want to start out an issue with a motion, you can, but you don't have to. It's the person running the meetings option to allow a certain amount of discussion before. It's also his option that if you have the if you allow discussion of an item before a motion has been made, you can listen, you can get a certain amount out, and when it gets to a point that you feel okay, that's enough discussion, now we need a motion as to what is actually done, then it is not a real fixed item. You don't have to follow anything real specific. They do give you some leeway. And I think my personal feeling is these subjects, sometimes they come up late. You don't have enough time. So you need discussion before you get into it. The stuff that's been there and it's obvious, you've seen it for 2 weeks or for 2 months, you know, there's no reason not to get a motion out right away and get on it, because you've talked about it before. But there's no fixed way of doing it, the way I interpret it.
Well, I think when you go to other meetings and people do things different ways, and you don't know then what really is right. Like on the motion where you brought up, Tom, that we were wrong, possibly we need to look up the state statutes on that. And so Drenda had made a motion, I made a second, which had a motion on the floor. We didn't subtract it. We didn't take that motion away. We just stopped the conversation. And so I withdrew my second.
Yes, she withdrew hers.
And
she withdrew hers.
Okay, I didn't hear. Okay. Anyway, it was a good learning experience. I thank everybody who came tonight and got out in the audience and made their discussions, and that's what America's about. I thank y'all.
And you got left?
Yes, I do.
You what?
I have something to talk about, but I'll be short.
Okay.
And brief. First of all, the Florida Economic Conference, a public office, is a public trust. They have, I have the information here if anybody wants it. The conference is December 8th and 9th in Lake Mary. If anybody wants to go, here's the information and the registration for that. I think every, okay, if every one of you got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I had something else, but now it's gone, so. I think we all should take a minute to remember former Commissioner Gary Mosier, who passed Saturday before last.
Yeah. I didn't know it until Tom emailed me yesterday and asked me to write his obituary.
Anybody else? Any last words of wisdom?
I make a motion we adjourn.
All for a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oh, I know what it is. No. The Suwannee River Native Cities, the 10th.
Cedar Key.
Cedar Key, 6 o'clock for the board meeting, 7 o'clock for the dinner. They ask that you RSVP. I'll send the information to Sally tomorrow. She can mail it out.
Brenda, that on what day? 10th. November.
Yes, I'm sorry.